Hey, what's poppin'? Drew and Mike Show is in the DealsInTheD.com studios for the Wednesday show this week. And, oh boy, a regretful start to the show today. Very, very, very regretful. Because, you know, you think you're on your way to doing one show, and then something happens, what, an hour and a half ago?
About that.
And you realize that, throw it all out, because Eddie Van Halen died. Oh, brother. And, you know, Mark told me, and I was actually shocked, and I know that he's been sick.
Oh, but he's been sick so many times, and then recovered, and then sick, and then recovered.
Well, when I saw him at the Tool show, and he was taking a picture for someone who didn't know he was Eddie Van Halen, which was just funny, and I think said a lot about him, I thought, well, you know, he's at a Tool show. He's taking a picture for somebody. He seems to be smiling. And he occasionally had some, I followed him on Twitter, he had some very friendly tweets, you know, happy birthdays to his son and things like that. And it just seemed like, you know, he's just not up for doing anything right now. But I thought, surely, one more time, at least one more time, he'll be out there. Because he was 65 years old.
Yeah.
He did have a third of his tongue removed in 2000. And I know, from what I understand, the last 5 years he's been going back and forth to Germany for experimental treatments. And, oh, when you hear that, it just doesn't sound good.
Cancer can be a tricky thing. It sounded like the last 72 hours it just exploded and...
Yeah.
Went to his brain.
You know, I wondered about that, too. It's like, did that happen in the last 72 hours, or was he tested, you know, 6 months ago, and he was okay, and then all of a sudden, because cancer can be crazy like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, just for starters, because it's hard to even put Eddie Van Halen in perspective. He's just a huge rock star in every way. What he did was absolutely incredible with the guitar. He's an original. He had a signature sound. People try to copy him. They really cannot, although there's a lot of 12-year-olds on YouTube who you guys will probably be very excited to see can perform Eruption. Some really good cover guitarists if you guys are looking for some new people to be fans of.
Maybe when we're off Facebook, yeah.
Ugh. And, you know, also as a rock star, as our traditional rock star, he had many foibles. He had problems with drinking. He had problems with drugs. He had a divorce. His kid was in his band. He loved his kid. His kid loved him. He had a really sad...
had a divorce from his bandmates.
Yeah, he went through three lead singers and then back to one and back to two. I watched that MTV thing from 96, by the way, when Roth comes back.
Oh, at the award show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that wasn't awkward.
Oh. Boozy, boozy, bop, titty bop. That was so cringy. I don't know what I was expecting to see, but they're actually smiling through the first 30 or 40 seconds of it.
Yeah! And then it hit him. Oh, that's right. This is what David was like.
Yeah, it gets really bad.
Yeah. Woo!
But Van Halen was also, and I think this is more true of bands past, maybe it seems like it's easy to make news now as a musician. Van Halen was big news. You know, you had Eddie had a TV star, a wife. You know, they were big partiers, their albums. I mean, they were, somebody said they were plastered to the top of the charts for, you know, two decades. They really were. I mean, with Sammy and with David Lee Roth, they were big stuff for really more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. Music was always number one to Eddie Van Halen. And just as an indicator, I think, of how big that band was, look at how people love to argue about Van Halen.
Oh, but there's no argument.
Whether it's Roth or... I'll argue on behalf of Sammy. I love Sammy. No. You don't like the Sammy ears?
They're fine. They're good. It's cute.
You don't like Pound Cake?
I think... No, I do. It's fine.
The tequila made me do it!
Does not compare, though.
Well...
In my mind.
I like the early Van Halen. I don't know that I like either one better, to be honest. And they sold a lot of records.
One is just an insane party band, and they're just will kick your ass. Yeah. The other is just a really good rock band. Yeah.
I think Sammy was best for the band for themselves personally, but I think musically it was for me and the whole persona of a rock band. It's got to be David Lee Roth.
The biggest
thing is everybody argues about those two, but the constants are Alex and Eddie.
Yes. Eddie's band. I mean, you'll hear a lot of people who are called the founder of a band.
Yeah.
You know, like John Lennon's the founder of the Beatles, but without Paul McCartney, are the Beatles the Beatles? Without George Harrison, are the Beatles the Beatles? Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. Well, no, actually, Brian Jones is the founder of the Rolling Stones.
Wasn't Alex really in charge of Van Halen, too, we learned?
I think Alex had a lot to say.
Yeah. Probably too much.
It was Eddie Van Halen's band. It always was, and it was his sound. It was his incredible, his tapping, his... and in fact, I read something really interesting about his tapping that I'd read before, that the reason he squeezed all these tricks out of his guitar was because he couldn't afford pedals and fuzz boxes when he was younger.
Huh.
So he just did what he could.
There's a real famous story about Alex and Eddie that, you know, they played the different instrument, right? Alex was the guitarist, Eddie was the drummer, and then...
Alex was a better drummer.
Eddie heard Alex drumming and playing on his kit when he wasn't around. He's like, oh, man, maybe I should go the other way.
And they switched.
Oh, perfect.
And they both took piano lessons, too. So they had a musical family.
Yeah.
Father was very musical. Born in the Netherlands in 1955, January 26th. Moved to Pasadena in 1972. Formed Van Halen in... Or 1962, I'm sorry. He was seven when they moved.
Mm-hmm.
Formed Van Halen 10 years later. David Lee Roth, of course, made the cut because he had the sound system.
That's right.
his dad was a doctor, had money, and so I think that bled into Van Halen and maybe ratcheted them up a notch. They played parties in that area. I know for years they were famous for having these backyard parties and playing here, there, and everywhere. And then I'm trying to remember we had the guy that was managing them until 85 on. We should probably put that one out again. That was a good... He was a great guest myself.
Or we could find the Eddie interview. Although that was long.
Oh, that was a long time ago. Yeah, that's really about the splinter when Sammy leaves. And it was a really...
I think Paul on Facebook saw the argument of Van Roth and Van Hagar. He writes, I like them both till Dave speaks.
Here's my favorite bands. AC/DC, Van Halen, not Van Hagar.
Well, Dave drove them fucking crazy.
Yeah, no, clearly.
And honestly, Sammy's a better singer. But Dave worked. He was everything that band needed when he was in the band, and he was a front man, and he was, far as front men go, he was fantastic. I mean, it really worked. They needed each other for whatever reason, and it worked. And, moving forward, although, there were a few people that didn't think it would, like Gene Simmons, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Gene had found Van Halen. I mean, I give Gene a lot of credit for this. Gene tried to get Van Halen signed with his guys.
Yeah.
And Gene worked on demos. And the interesting thing about that was that Gene felt Roth was just not that great a singer. And he probably isn't that great a singer.
No.
But he wasn't. He was a great singer for that band for whatever reason. And I love the sound of those records, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want them any other way. But Eddie had trouble in the studio. Eddie could not.
No.
He said Eddie just couldn't get the idea of tracking into a song. He had to play live. And Gene's like, hey, man, this is how it's done. It's not that hard. Just listen to your headphones. And Eddie just couldn't get it. And finally, they did, and they made a demo. And in spite of Gene, and I'm trying to remember, how did Gene try to screw Roth? There was one big screw job, and then Roth paid him back by saying, hey, man, you want to come down to the show tonight? And Gene came down, and David Lee did not leave him tickets at the...
what a dick.
Yeah.
What a perfect fight. I'd love to see those two guys fight.
I think Gene did the same thing to Roth for Kiss. Like, he said, hey, you want tickets to Kiss? And then there weren't enough tickets.
Yeah.
There were tickets in Eddie's name.
Lots of eulogies from, family members and people in music. A lot of people that worked with him. Here's one from a person that worked with him.
Shiny and sparkly. And splendidly bright.
Did work with him.
Here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
And Eddie reworked Beat It. He rearranged
it
and put that solo in there. And that was a real... I mean, Eddie was just exploding at that point, if you think about it. Gene Simmons, by the way, has tweeted, "My heart is broken. Eddie was not only a guitar god, but a genuinely beautiful soul. Rest in peace, Eddie. Eddie Van Halen, dead at 65 from cancer." Did he really write that last part?
I think that was probably whatever he was sharing.
Give me a little
sharing.
Quote, Gene.
Part of the retweet.
It's a good day to be above ground.
Eddie Van Halen, dead at 65 from cancer. What the fuck? Paul Stanley right after him. "Oh, no, speechless, a trailblazer and someone who always gave everything to his music, a good soul. I remember seeing him play at the Starwood in 76, and he was Eddie Van Halen. So shocked and sad. My condolences to Wolfie and his family." Flea. "Oh, man, bless his beautiful creative heart. I love you, Eddie Van Halen, L.A. boy, a true rocker. I hope you jam with Jimmy tonight. Breakthrough to the other side, my brother." Brian Wilson.
"Oh, wow.
I just heard about Eddie Van Halen. I feel terrible about it. Eddie was such a great guitarist. I remember how big Van Halen was, especially here in L.A. Love and mercy to Eddie's family and friends." Lenny Kravitz, legendary guitar, musical innovator, Edward Van Halen. "Heaven will be electric tonight." Kenny Chesney, "I was devastated at the news." This is one of those ones where you just start seeing everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big one. Geezer Butler, "Just when I thought 2020 couldn't get any worse, I heard Eddie Van Halen has passed. One of the nicest down-to-earth men I've ever met, toured with, a true gent, true genius, RIP, so sad.
Oh, will this horrible year never end?
Thoughts go out to his brother Alex and his family." Oh, Alex, man. Oh, boy, that's got to be.
Sure. Tough.
Nikki Six, "Crushed, so crushed. RIP Eddie Van Halen. You changed our world. You were the Mozart of rock guitar. Travel safe, rock star. Eddie Van Halen and Neil Peart were just too good for 2020. We're all heartbroken." Sebastian Bach. Bach!
Maybe God's making a band.
Billy Idol, rest in peace. God needed a guitar player?
No, he already had Peart. Neil Peart.
Rest in peace, guitar legend Eddie Van Halen. We'll miss you at Billy Idol. Nickelback?
Nobody cares what Nickelback. No, I'm just kidding. I bet you the comments underneath whatever they wrote are probably.
Okay, well, let's check them both. Nickelback.
"If you like the Beatles, you will love this band called Nickelback."
"World lost an icon, innovator, showman, virtuoso, master songwriter." Okay, kind of a little overboard here, Nickelback. "Perhaps one of the biggest inspirations ever to learn how to play guitar. Heartbroken to hear Eddie Van Halen's passing. Our love, condolences. Garbage, Eddie Van Halen. Rest in rock." Oh, let's see the comments for Nickelback. "Rest easy, Eddie. Prayers for his family and friends." That's from Nikki Hughes.
What?
Apparently follows Nickelback.
Has to respond on the Nickelback Twitter page. All right.
Well, you have to follow Nickelback to probably read that. Or I mean, this is what's trending. So I just want to know, I'm not following Nickelback.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Man, even Nickelback knows what's good.
I do have when they came in studio and did Jump live.
I think that was just
That's
David,
Roth.
Though. Yeah.
With oh, him, just him alone?
With yeah. Well, no, it wasn't him alone. He brought about 50 guys that no one knew who they were.
Very true.
His Vegas band. That was so weird.
That was the weirdest. Yeah. That was so weird. And sadly, Mike was so excited. I was excited, too.
Yeah.
We wrote a million questions. We had so many things we wanted to ask him. He answered nothing.
Oh.
He just said what he had to say, and that was that. So, oh, man. 72, Pasadena, 1978, Van Halen's debut album, which was just, oh, my God, what a blistering debut that was. And I was really surprised to see that it reached number 19 on Billboard, because I remembered it being bigger than that. Maybe because I was 18 years old then.
Wow, I'd love to see what was ahead of it.
We can probably find out.
What do you have, the month or the date? You know what? I'll find it.
That'd be easy to find.
Yeah.
It did. It went on to sell 10 million copies. So, you know, I will bet you.
It had crazy staying power. Those songs are still badass today. How
absolutely.
Many songs on that list would or albums would be?
Well, I'm guessing that it had sold 10 million by probably the 1990s, and it probably still, you know, gets lots of spins. It was followed by Van Halen 2, Women and Children First, that was a big record, Fair Warning, Diver Down, all multi-platinum albums, not 10 million, but 1984 sold 10 million copies. Jump was then a number one single.
Huge.
I bet they had some more singles that were pretty high, too. And then Roth leaves in 85. Sammy arrives. 5150 in 1986, which was, in a way, you know, I know the Roth people are going to laugh, but it was kind of a relief to see, hey, they're still going and still sounds pretty damn good. You can certainly still hear Eddie. OU812 in 1988, and I remember very distinctly when that arrived at WAAF, and it was rushed into the morning show at about 9:30, and we played a few tracks off it. Our program director suggested, Harv Allen, suggested a few tracks, which I think we faithfully played, and that was just, you know, that's, you know, to me, that sort of reminds me of how big they were, the fact that, I mean, it came in the door and was like, get in the studio, even on the morning show. Then For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge in 91. I thought that was a good album, too. Balance in 95. Greatest Hits, 96. With that had the two new tracks, which were...
Oh, is that Me Wise Magic?
Which I love that track.
That's a cool song.
I love that song. And the other one was from the movie Twister.
Yeah, that's right.
Sammy. And then Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 2007. They're one of only two.
You skipped over Van Halen 3 with Gary Cherone.
It did.
Nice try.
There's also the one with Roth in 2012.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a different something. It's got them redoing Jump acoustically, which I loved. I loved that.
That's not the one with Tattoo on it, is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
You like that? You like?
I kind of like that song.
It's all yours.
I like Van Halen. Period. I mean, it's Roth. You should like it.
It's okay. No, I know. It's silly. I was thinking about it as we were having that argument. I'm like, God, if Sammy came first, would we all have just laughed at David Lee Roth's version of the band?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
But I think it's because of the way it landed and the way it hit.
They're one of only five rock bands with two albums selling 10 million copies or more. That's a pretty exclusive company. They have the most multi-platinum albums of any American band, tied with
somebody. Name one other band that's done that.
Who would they be tied with? Would that be...
Say it again.
They have the most multi-platinum albums of any U.S. band, and somebody else is tied with them at the number one spot.
Metallica?
I'm thinking Springsteen or Metallica.
Well, does Springsteen count as a band?
Yeah, the E Street Band. I would think so. Maybe not. Yeah, it could be Metallica. They're the 20th biggest selling act ever. That's before Eddie died. They can sell a lot of records this week.
Could it be Aerosmith?
Yeah, it could be Aerosmith. They have a lot of records. They sold 56 million records in the U.S., 80 million in the world. And also, you know...
Name one other band that's done that.
Oh, Righteous Rick on Facebook says the Eagles.
Oh, it's the Eagles? Okay.
Well, I mean, that's just what he's saying.
Oh.
But that's a pretty
I don't think so, because they didn't record for a long time. So I don't think it's going to be
so
Eagles.
Shut up, Rick. Yeah. No.
It's probably Alabama or something.
Some band we don't know.
They used to win everything. And I will say, too, having seen Van Halen live, there was just so much energy on that stage. It was just wow. You know, there's some bands that come out and you're like, yeah, it's pretty good. Oh, yeah, they're playing hits now. It was great. It's all right. It was a good show. And then some people just come out and whammo. I mean, they just really. Whammo. Maybe we should listen to that. You really want to hear about Whammo. I saw him in Roanoke, Virginia in college. And this was a funny story because I want to say it was 1980. Maybe it was 81. I think it was around when Lennon died. I want to say. Anyway.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
I could in 82. Van Halen was a huge band. They were blowing up the campus, of course. The baseball team loved Van Halen. The college radio station?
Not so much. No, it's not cool enough for a college radio station.
Nope. College radio, when I first started my sophomore year, was like, what are you going to play? So I have this list of stuff, and he goes, okay, take out Van Halen, take out AC/DC. And it's like, what do you mean? They're so popular. And he's like, no, not cool, man. Try to think of some new wave or some classic rock or some punk. They were too big. They were too common, I guess. So they were really looked down upon in college radio because there were, you know, important new trends.
Wait, weren't you guys rocking to Frampton Comes Alive the entire summer?
No, well, in 76 in high school, yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God. Do you want to know the top albums of 78?
Yes, I do.
Rumors. At the very beginning
that
of the year.
That was big.
Saturday Night Fever. For
Damon. That's a soundtrack.
I love Rumors.
Soundtrack, but it was huge.
Some Girls.
That was a big record. That's a good record.
Then Grease.
Oh, boy.
Whatever. Don't Look Back Boston. Grease.
Big
back,
record.
Grease
that back. Those are big records, man.
52nd Street, too. Billy Joel. Living in the USA. Linda Ronstadt. And Live and More. Donna Summer. For 1 week.
By the way, Van Halen has a really cool cover of You're No Good, the Linda Ronstadt song, which is from 75. They didn't write it. It was a cover. She covered somebody wrote it for her, I think. And it was a great song. It was a big hit. And they covered it. And I just love what they did with it.
I want to hear that.
Yeah, I want to hear it, too.
Sorry, Facebook.
See you, Facebook. You know what? Let me mention it. Since 2017, Hope Not Handcuffs has helped over 4,700 people now. It was 4,600 when we started. People get help and resources they might not have gotten otherwise by actually going to one of 100 participating police stations where they're not going to arrest you. They're going to help you get help because you've got a problem. Addiction, whether it's alcohol, cocaine, painkillers, heroin, there's 100 participating police locations that want you to come in and ask for help without fear of being arrested. Police officer will treat you with compassion, call a volunteer angel, will come to the police department, assist with paperwork, and make the phone calls to get you placed in treatment. And the first step doesn't have to be the hardest. There is hope. Go to Hope Not Handcuffs to learn more and make the step toward recovery. That's HopeNotHandcuffs.com.
They're part of Family Against Narcotics, too, which is a big organization. And they're having a live fall fest tonight online for Family Against Narcotics if anybody wants to browse the auction items they have or buy a virtual ticket. So it's a good cause.
What are they auctioning? I'm curious because that's a good cause.
Somebody might have placed a bid already. That's all I'm saying.
Are you kidding me? What are you bidding on?
Desmond Howard autographed jersey.
Oh!
What's a good price?
That sort of stuff.
What's a good price for it?
Desmond Howard? For an autographed jersey?
Yeah.
I'd say $250 is a good bid.
I shouldn't say what it is. I shouldn't have said anything because now people are going to go. People that are on Facebook Live. $200. I thought it was a good price.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, when you're just jumping in there, I wouldn't bid $50. That's insulting because the jersey's probably worth, you know, $75.
Well, I bought it at a Barrett Jackson auction.
There's like a signed Al Kaline jersey, $250. A Winovich helmet, $150. Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, a lot of Michigan stuff.
Yeah, well, and Wings and Tigers.
So. Okay. No, that's great. People love that stuff.
Yeah. And, Billy,
and Elric,
you can get there from the Hope's Not Handcuffs site.
ML talked to the Hope Not Handcuffs people at the end of the show today, correct?
Yeah, in the middle of it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
David, who is a recovering addict himself, and now he's an angel, so.
Cool.
Oh, Rick's putting what he thinks it would cost. Get out of here, Rick.
Oh,
just because of that.
Well,
Rick,
he would know.
Rick, you just ended Facebook.
No, you biller.
Everyone be mad at Rick. I'm just ending the Facebook based on Rick.
All right. Royal Oak, some of you getting notices you've got, you know, got X number of days to spend your $20 in downtown Royal Oak, your free Royal Oak bucks, and a lot of you are spending it too. And in fact, they've got this great contest going on that you post a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in downtown Royal Oak. Hey, if you don't have an Instagram account, then do it with somebody who has one because you can make $1,000. Tag it at @downtown_Royal Oak. Use the hashtag MIDowntownDay. Five winners will be selected at random to get $1,000 in downtown dollars to use at participating local businesses. Head to downtown Royal Oak's Instagram page. Follow along and learn more. And don't forget to visit downtown Royal Oak with your Royal Oak Bucks. Contest runs October 11th, 11:59 p.m. So there. Anybody for the whole financial hotline today?
I don't know. You know, there's a guy I haven't tried the number. I don't even know if you'd want to talk to him, but he's driving a lawnmower from Los Angeles to Tampa.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
how fast does it go?
I'm afraid it's for a good cause, though, maybe. But he's doing it with no gas, no food, no money, just to see, you know, how nice the Americans are to help him out. Which I would guess that'd be very hard.
Wait, we're trying to... He wants us to support his trip?
No, it's a news story. It says, we had no gas, no food, no money, no place to stay, nothing. We had to rely on the good hearts of Americans to get us across the country from point A to point B. The people were absolutely amazing.
Oh, he's already done it.
It says he's still doing it, so maybe he's halfway. I don't know.
Okay,
well, he's going from L.A. to where?
Tampa. He's from Michigan.
Wow, I like this version. You never heard this?
No. I like it, though.
Yeah, they did a nice cover of Pretty Woman.
Oh, that's
really
yeah.
nice cover. Didn't they cover Kink Song? You Really Got Me?
Yes. Both
yeah. Those they, I mean, they kill those covers. They had a list of, I finished my story. So I'm like, when Van Halen was coming around, I was like, if I go to Van Halen, I want my college radio friends to know about that. Because they'll really give me a hard time. What a sellout, man! But my baseball buddies were going. So I was living in two different musical worlds at the time. I mean, that was very complicated. And, you know, that's one of the cool things about music is that it's part of your, I mean, it's really part of your life. Your
peer
group.
It's the soundtrack to your life.
It is the soundtrack to your life. And I had two soundtracks going.
So trite.
Which soundtrack do I go with?
There's the baseball one. They're the ones that cranked High Fidelity, too, right? Or, wait, what is it? The
High Infidelity.
High Infidelity.
Yeah, REO. REO, it was a big record. It was popular. It was.
Oh,
I never suggested that get played on my college radio show.
They're not
ever.
That bad.
Heard of my friend who... Heard of my friend who... Heard of him and then even messing around. that song. I hate that song.
Hey, I remember.
I like Time for Me to Fly.
I remember my dorm. They one guy down there used to blast the Cranberries, which I thought was really weird at that time. In 90, that would have been 94,
soft,
fall of 94. Yeah.
Cranberries. I know. It's,
I was all
it's
like
weird.
Pennywise and Bad Religion and really fast like punk rock.
That's part of the time. Yeah,
yeah, that's. I think that, that's a youth. Those are youthful. No effects. Very cool.
But it's funny when you get to like a dorm like that and you realize, oh, not everybody listens to the same music I do.
Oh, I know. I remember a guy down the hall of mine who used to crank the Meatloaf record. And he was my coach. Bob Humphries is my coach who played for the Tigers and the Cubs.
And
the Brewers. And he had a World Series ring. And his nephew lived down the hall. And he used to crank Meatloaf. And it was the one with two out of three ain't bad.
That's what I was. So that's where my head went. And I just keep thinking that's a really weird song to crank up really loud.
Well, it also had Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, which I think he cranked even louder. He's the kind of guy that would put his speakers out the window. You know, there's a play area outside where people
see how cool I am.
Yeah, exactly.
You probably love this part.
Yeah, of course he did. That's Phil Rizzuto. Stop right there! Do you love me? That's a funny song.
It's so weird that is such a popular song.
I know, it was
so
it was,
long.
That album was gigantic.
Yeah.
But anyway, I capitulated to my baseball friends, went to Van Halen on the low, on the down low, and the show was incredible. I mean, that was like, wow! I mean, it was really, and I'd seen some good shows at that point, but I was really blown away, and then I saw them at Riff. Twice or three times, I think. It was just Sammy, and that was a great show. I mean, the energy, just phenomenal. And Eddie Van Halen, man, oh, man. God, this sucks. Bit list of Eddie Van Halen's 20 best guitar solos. We'll come back to that later. I was looking at this Vulture list of all Van Halen songs ranked.
Oh, wow.
How many songs do you think Van Halen had?
How many songs total?
Yeah, how many songs?
170? 180?
113.
Oh, okay.
Which, that's you know, that's high. Actually a lot. But it just, for some reason, I thought it would be higher. Because they have a lot of albums.
How many albums, though?
Well, I had five with, six with Roth, and another four. Yeah, I guess, yeah, I know. It's just
I was thinking 15 tracks on each.
Number 20 is Beautiful Girls from 1979. Great song. Jamie's Crying at 19, according to Vulture. Little Guitars from Diver Down at 18. Where Have All the Good Times Gone from Diver Down, 82. Oh, that's a Kinks cover, too.
Where Have All the Good Times Gone?
Yeah. I can hear Ray Davies singing it now. Jump at 16.
Ugh.
I know, it's funny how...
That's the one my brother's tormenting me with.
There were people who were really angry... Will they a keyboard band now? Humans Being?
Really?
At 15? Yeah, that's higher than I would think.
Yeah.
This is Vulture. In a Simple Rhyme from Women and Children First.
Yeah.
Hear About It Later, Fair Warning at number 13. Cabo Wabo from OU812 at 12. Feel Your Love Tonight at 11, 1978. I don't know about this list. It's a great song.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, covering the Kinks is pretty tricky territory, and they did a real good job.
What number are you at?
Number 10, 5150. Number 9, Romeo Delight from Women and Children First. Running with the Devil at 8 from Van Halen.
Wow, only 8, huh?
You Really Got Me from Van Halen, number 7. There's another Kinks cover. Hot for Teacher, number 6 from 84. DOA from 79, Van Halen 2. Panama from 84 at number 4. Dance the Night Away from 79. That's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great pop song. In fact, I love that scene in the Mission to Mars where they're floating in gravity and he's just kind of... Tim Robbins is dancing with his wife, who's also on the mission for some crazy reason.
How many times do you reference that movie?
I love that movie.
No.
Oh, am I turning into Chris?
Oh, yeah, Chris
Matthews. Why does this song come up?
No, but you've never mentioned it in regards to the song. I'll give you that much.
I do like the movie. Well, it's better than mentioning the movie he does. That's a rock and pop song.
Yeah, that's funny. It is kind of a pop song.
Yeah, it's got a great hook.
What number was that at?
Number 3.
Wow, okay.
Unchained from Fairway.
Oh, fuck yeah. I think that's my favorite.
At 80, from 81. And then Eruption from 78. I don't see any Sammy Hagar songs in this top 20.
Where's Ice Cream Man?
It's not in there.
Ice Cream Man's got a great solo in it.
It does. Well, they have the top 20 solos. Those are the top 20 songs. Huh. Gotta be a better list than that.
Was that Vulture?
No! Yeah, Vulture. Sometimes one for the ladies. They're all for the ladies.
I mean, this song to me is just perfect corny Dave with just badass Eddie in it.
Yeah.
This is a cover too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's an old blues song.
Yeah, a really old one. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, God, when he kicks in here, man.
Oh, that's right, yeah. This thing rocks. I got to put my banana in Dixie cups. All flavors and push-ups, too. I'm your ice cream man, baby. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on one more. Well, I'm usually passing
right, I'm
by
speed it just up. About 11 o'clock. I've had enough of you, Ross.
All right, boys. I'm going to put my banana, Dixie cups, all flavors and push-ups, too. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Yes. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by.
Do you have the solo list?
Ice cream.
I do.
Big Gay Ice Cream is the best.
Big Gay Ice Cream.
Would you look at that? He's got an ice cream cone.
We're getting ice cream. You want to join?
Would Ranker have a good list?
I don't think so.
Rolling Stone had theirs.
Of their top 20?
Yeah.
You sure that isn't their undiscovered, lesser known songs or something like that? It's just
nope,
their best?
It's solos.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the list I have.
Oh.
Rancorous has Ain't Talking About Love is number one. Unchained, Panama.
For just overall songs?
Yeah. Run with the Devil, Eruption, Hot for Teacher.
Yeah.
It's 6. Janie's Crying, 7.
Yeah.
Dance the Night Away, 8. You Really Got Me, 9.
This list is a little better.
Running with the Devil, 10. Beautiful Girls, 11. And the Cradle Will Rock, 12.
Yeah.
I'll Wait, 13. Jump, 14. Jump belongs further down. I mean, it's further down this list. Everybody Wants Some at 15. That's a good song.
Oh, so good.
Dreams at 16. I'm the One at 17. Eddie loved the solo in I'm the One. Drop Dead Legs at 18. Mean Street, 19. Why Can't This Be Love at 20. Feel Your Love Tonight, 21. Right Now, 22. Ice Cream Man, 23. Somebody Get Me a Doctor, 24.
I got the Isolated right here of the solo.
Okay, Mark. Go for it. Yeah, thank you.
This is isolated audio of I'm Gonna...
You know what the great thing is about music? It's so easy.
These lists tell you, though, that, you know, Van, again, if you can argue about the number 15 song, the number 10 song, number 5, you know you've got a great band because they got a lot of great tracks. So many bands, you know, when you go to Google Play and you know, because they rank them on the most streams, yep. You know what the first 3-4 songs are going to be. And you go. And you might go, oh my God, I thought that was number 3. It's number 4. What the fuck?
Did you look at Van Halen's and what they were?
You know, I didn't, because that's a good idea. Why don't you check Spotify?
Oh, gross. Guess what number 1 is on Spotify?
It's going to be Jump.
I knew it.
It'll be the same thing on Google Play.
I'm not joking. That song fucking bothers me. Just because how 8-year-old Mark was being tormented by his brother.
Listen to that motherfucker play those keyboards.
It was their number one single. So, you know.
Number 2 is Panama, Running with the Devil, Hot for Teacher.
Okay.
Ain't Talking About Love, You Really Got Me. Why Can't This Be Love? Can't Stop Loving You. A lot of love songs in a row. Eruption and Dance the Night Away.
Okay. I think Sammy gets... I don't know. He gets pretty dominated on the Google playlist, too. Jeez. Doesn't Van Halen just get poppier with Sammy? I mean, they really are. They're better pop songs, and they're more melodic. But I realize to an original Van Halen fan, that's, you know, there's something a little traitorous about it.
They're just different.
It's gone. I mean, he's gone. It's not there. Most bands don't recover after you lose a lead singer like that.
Well, the smart thing was naming the band Van Halen.
You're right. Well, you got two guys.
Yeah. Well, three. Yeah. Well, you mean
I thought three eventually.
You think Gary Cherone's sitting around today going, "Is anybody gonna call me? Anything about Eddie?"
He might be wondering. He should tweet. Why don't you check his Twitter?
HLN.
I bet he has a really heavy tweet.
Although we didn't work for a long time, we had our differences. Always respect his playing.
Hall Financial wants to remind you that mortgage rates are at an all-time low. That's why people are refinancing, and I get so many incredibly nice emails, which I send to David Hall, about people saving money on their monthly payments. And save money is found money. Low rates mean value if you're on the market for that new home. Remember, their service is fast, very fast. So don't bring the average down. The average is 19 days. Call Hall Financial 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com/DrewandMike, NMLS number 1467435. And, oh yeah, Zot Ford and Holly, dealsinthed.com. It's truck month. That means deals for you. The number one selling truck in America, 42 straight years, legendary Ford F-150. And, of course, the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked about truck in Detroit. Get to Zot Ford and Holly. Talk to Gabara. Run yourself a deal. Mm-hmm. Or talk to one of those hot sales staff members. Lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or what about the 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month? Plus, Gabar and the gang at Zot Ford still have new Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. See all the details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Gary Cherone hasn't tweeted since September the 11th, which was a you know, just a September the 11th tweet, and then the day before
that... Wait, 9-11, Twitter wasn't around then.
This year, yeah. And then the day before that, he tweeted, Joe Perry, happy birthday, so...
Did he tweet, would you say it was 9-11, the last one?
Yeah.
Did he say, happy, or I'm thinking about all of you on 9-11 first responders in New York or something?
Hashtag sacred ground, there's a picture of, you know, never forget how many people had died. I mean, just a very nice tweet.
I think he'd remember his band.
Maybe. Petticoat probably tweeted about it. I'm going to see if he did.
Does anyone have trouble saying maybe without thinking of that guy?
Maybe.
Maybe she went in the way a couple guys. And
let's see if Nuno didn't tweet about it.
Maybe. Maybe Gary Sharon is a man facing divorce or custody issues. He needed to call Adam, and he's been very busy with that.
Maybe.
For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system that you deserve. I mean, maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best.
Maybe.
Adam has the most knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. Men, call Adam at 248-356-2326. They're thinking about you. That's 248-356-ADAM.
Maybe.
Gary Sharon also wished... Happy birthday to Cat Stevens. He's just on Twitter wishing all these musicians happy birthday. Does he need a gig?
Hang out with Tom?
Well, no, I figured he'd just wish all these people happy birthday. If he has a singer.
I owe Maz a call, by the way. He said I ghosted him last week, which I did.
Oh, which
I did. I wanted to call him about Al Michaels today because Al Michaels is really popping off.
Oh, you're still trying to get Al fired?
Well, there's that. And also, he was bitching about wearing masks. He and Collingsworth were bitching because they had a big plexiglass between them.
That's what I thought you were going to talk about. Yesterday when you brought him up.
Yeah, so let me see.
Instead he brought up something that only like 9 people on Twitter even noticed.
which is what?
Only like a handful of people jumped all over him because he said, and there's a penalty, they threw the fags. Drew, you jumped right on it. Fire him!
No, I don't want him fired. My point was, he did the same thing that other people did who got fired, and it just shows you how stupid it is. Because Al Michaels, of course he's not going to be fired, but he's Al Michaels. You know, when you're just some Yahoo in Rochester, nobody's going to come to your defense. They're going to go, ooh!
Well, that guy in Rochester was railroaded, man.
I know he was. It's just, I guess I have to let it go.
Oh, I should look him up. I wonder if he's landed a job.
Last I checked, he was... he had a new career.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't remember what it was. It seems to me it was related to his dismissal somehow. Oh. Boy, I tell you, that's a bit. The guy had been doing, I think, weather there for 20-some years.
His name is Jeremy Kappel.
Oh, I may be confusing him with the St. Louis guy.
20 years.
That guy was doing morning news.
This is the weather. Let's see what this he's been to. Let's see. Follower of God in my dreams, family man, foodie, fitness wannabe, broadcast meteorologist, talk show host, blogger, lover of life. I mean, the guy's doing great.
Well, that's what he is. I mean, does that mean he's doing it?
I don't know.
Why don't you Google his name and then new meteorology job?
I'll look. Let's see. He's very active on Twitter, so that's good.
The St. Louis guy, I think he like went to rehab, like, you know, vocal rehab or something.
He
tried to sort of go with it, like, hey, I'm trying to improve myself.
Did he meet with the same people Markle met with?
Oh, Maz is in a hurry. We need to hurry up and call him.
Is he in a hurry?
Really needs to eulogize Eddie Van Halen.
He's about to go into Lily and Abby's volleyball game, so he's in a rush.
I'm like a time vampire demanding time.
Abby!
I love how the Lily and Abby's volleyball games are more important than this broadcast.
You take up a lot of his time.
By the way, I have news about Lily's volleyball game. Someone met him at Lily's volleyball game and said Maz was on the phone the entire game.
Oh, of course.
Lily.
And that Maz is looking into new rates for him for insurance.
I think that would be more interesting if they said Tom wasn't on his phone. It was very engaged in the game the whole time.
Well, he acts like he's, you know, hangs on everything his kids do.
How much do you know Tom? Just his appearance there is what counts, right?
No, I think he's really into his kids.
No, that's not what I meant.
But, I mean, that
shit, yeah.
I mean, what happened, obviously, was something came up on his phone that was very interesting to him and just distracted him.
Well, we could find out. When was this volleyball game? We'll see how busy his Twitter was.
Let me see
you if butt I out.
Find it.
Just saying. This is why people think I'm the bad guy.
You guys harass me on a daily basis.
Oh, I need a song. God, he's in such a hurry, I didn't even get my song.
Oh, here's Tom Segura. This guy's suggesting WATP breakdown the rapid.
Hello.
Maz!
Hey, Drew.
What's going on, man?
You just caught me.
I know. I understand Lily and Abby's volleyball games are more important than our podcast, apparently.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know that.
Are you not allowed to talk on the phone while you're in the volleyball game?
No, it's way too loud in there. Plus, you don't get a good signal.
Okay, so you got to turn your phone off, clearly, when you go into the game, right?
No, I don't turn it
off. What?
Put on the ball game and leave it on the seat next to me.
Wait, <'cause...
laughs> awesome. That's great.
Someone may have met you at a volleyball game recently, yes. And they said that you were on your phone for most of the volleyball.
Todd. Yeah.
Todd.
No, he's not even going to fight it. He'll just admit it. Yeah, and I fully accept. No, I accept it. It reminds me of going to Brandon's wedding. Happy anniversary.
Everybody,
Brandon.
Be quiet. Can you Todd's just, about to masturbate.
Can you just.
I saw Brandon's wedding picture pop up on my Facebook the other day.
Oh, great.
And what did you think of?
It was great. It was me, you, Joanna, and Brandon. We were hugging on.
And we watched, I think, Ohio State equal out over Indiana.
East Carolina, Eastern Michigan almost pulled up.
Max Scherzer, no-hitter.
Yeah, Max Scherzer is no-hitter. It was a great sports day, Brandon.
Sports.
It was a great day for football and baseball.
Maz, what was going on your phone during the volleyball game? It was so important.
I was watching the Yankee game.
I'm not. Hey, I don't blame you.
Let me tell you something. I'm so impressed that you can get such a quality picture on a freaking phone. HD quality baseball.
That's pretty cool.
Technology.
It's a computer.
I got to go with you.
I know. It's amazing.
So, Maz, as far as the Yankees, Stanton hit a grand slam on Monday night.
I called it.
Did you?
Did you point to the outfield when you were in the...
No, I was sitting next to... Abby was watching the game with me. She was on her phone, of course. And I'm like, hey, put your phone... He's going to hit a grand slam.
So Abby! She did.
And when he hit it, she's like, Dad, how'd you know? I just had a feeling, I said.
Tom,
you rewound it.
I have a feeling you say that every time the bases are loaded and a power hitter.
No. I really had a feeling.
Okay.
I got one. I can even one-up you, Maz. The other day, the TV show Weakest Link came back, and I actually watched the entire show because it was on before the debate, and then the next day they reran it, and I watched it with my wife pretending that it was the first time it had debuted, and I knew all the answers, and I blew her fucking mind.
That is great.
That's awesome.
Phenomenal. Good job, Brandon.
She didn't suspect anything, Brandon, like halfway through?
No, she was just like, you should be on the show. You are doing really good.
But the four answers are up there, so you could get lucky.
That's true.
I almost did the Groundhog Day where he turns drinking. To them and he says the answer before the question's even asked.
Oh, my God.
I think
that would be if you could do that with Jeopardy. Jeopardy and then do the Jeopardy.
I think I told you my dad did that. I think we were at one of my brother's baseball games. We had a TV in the car back in the day with an antenna. Ooh. So he watched it on the Toledo station, got all the answers, and when he went home, answered them. Because they aired at the opposite times. It was always Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune. I think there it was Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy.
Remember the Seinfeld episode when Costanza George stopped having sex and he started knowing the answers to everything?
Yeah, he got really smart.
He did.
Yeah, because he wasn't focusing all his time on getting laid.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
I started recording them again, Tom, and I thought of you because I started
thank you, Mark.
Watching Good Seinfeld again because I Good never rewatch stuff.
I don't either, and I find when I do rewatch it, I'm very glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, this is good, better than seeing some new crap.
Are you going to get his book, Tom? You know he's got a book coming out.
I didn't know he had a book. No, I'm not a big book reader.
See, here's what's interesting. He just did a big interview on your least favorite show of all time, 60 Minutes. So there's a problem there because I figured you'd want to watch the interview.
I do.
At the same time, it's on 60 Minutes.
I can't hear that clock. I'm sorry.
Maz, what is it about the second the ticking?
True, it's embedded in my brain since I was a kid.
That it's the end of the weekend, right?
Yeah, watching the end of that 4 o'clock game, and then all of a sudden,
I totally relate. I swear to God, as soon as that was on, I was like, oh my God, all the fun is over, and all this serious shit is on.
Yes, it's over.
But you're adults
now. At least you have Sunday night football to look forward to.
True.
Thank God.
What's that?
At least now we have Sunday night football, because they didn't have Sunday night football for a long time. And I got to say,
no, there was nothing then.
One of the great things about COVID is having that Monday night, two Monday night football games last night. Can they just make that permanent?
That's sweet.
Yeah, thank
Except
you, COVID.
You can't overlap them. You can't overlap them.
I agree.
That was pretty cool. So
How about
Maz,
Monday, Tuesday?
Ooh.
Maz, what is your... Al Michaels is he's in some hot water. He was complaining about wearing a mask during the game.
Such an asshole.
And Chris Collinsworth was being kind of a dick, too.
Yeah, he did. They didn't care for it. The California made him wear their masks. But that's not why I dislike him. I just dislike him because he's just so pompous. To me, this takes the fun out of the game.
Now, did you read the article I sent you?
Yeah, I read it. Matter of fact, I saw the interview with the Jimmy Trainor guy on Sports Illustrated earlier in the week.
No kidding. You watched it even though you hate him?
Well, I watched that interview. I did.
It was a hate watch.
I know. It is a hate watch. There's no question about it.
I'm trying to remember what was...
I can't stand him.
Last
week when Mike Tirico was on, I felt like I was on vacation.
What was the interview about? Oh, about the NFL ratings tanking, quote unquote.
He's like, we beat everybody. Like, he freaking plays the game.
He was pretty cocky, wasn't he?
He is.
Because he's like, it's down from 20 million to 19 million. Ooh. Yeah.
How about when he says, I don't believe those numbers. You know, there's 350 million people in this. You're going to tell me only 20 million are watching it? I don't believe that at all. And he's right.
You know, well, it's such a small sample to come up
with
that number.
How many millions do you really think are watching that football game? At least 150 million.
No.
It seems like it would be a lot of people, but I don't know.
350 million?
You're talking kids. You're talking homeless people. You're talking...
This TV repair shops. You can watch the game outside.
There's a lot of women in this country.
Wait. This isn't a movie from the 1960s. Where is there a TV repair shop that has TVs on?
I know. That sucks. That was good back in the day.
Thomas lamenting the loss.
Is he really talking about people walking down the street and looking into a shop?
Yes. How awesome.
Has that ever happened in real life?
Yeah, no. The O.J. Simpson trial. The O.J. Simpson trial when he gave the verdict.
Okay, Tom, I'll give you a better argument. There's people that go to the bar and watch a game.
There you go, Mark. There you go.
That are severely undercounted, but they're starting to catch up with that.
At least 150 million.
Now, Maz. Okay, let's go the other direction. The NBA has had the three lowest-rated finals games ever.
Good.
Ever.
I hope they never watch them.
Whoa.
Now, do you think it's really only 4 million people watching Game 3?
No, it's a lot more than that. It's a lot more than that.
That's what they reported, though.
Why the anger towards the NBA?
No, I only have anger towards LeBron, not the NBA. You know that.
Yeah, LeBron, you know, the great thing about LeBron is he knows everything. He does.
He has everything.
He knows everything.
The owner, the general manager, the coach, and the best player.
And the police.
And the commissioner.
The police are, what does he say? They're tracking him all the time. Are they tracking him down? Or they're hunting him?
Give me a break.
I know.
God.
He did have the N-word spray painted on his...
They don't realize it harms people financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
His multi-million-dollar home.
He has what spray paint?
Remember that when they spray painted the N-word?
That's an accident, right? That was an accident.
He probably did it himself.
I ain't playing.
Well, Tom, then you missed out on him stomping off the court in Game 3 like a baby.
Yeah. Do you remember? 10 seconds, he walks off. Yes?
Well, true.
I ain't playing.
LeBron walked off the floor with 10 seconds left.
I know. I saw that. What do you think? He's the Pistons?
No, the Pistons walked off with 3 seconds left. He walked off with 10 seconds left.
Isaiah,
that's three times as bad.
Isaiah defended him today.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm. What a puss move.
Yeah, Isaiah, I would say, is LeBron replaced Isaiah as the least liked basketball player of all time?
Was Isaiah that disliked?
Yeah, he was. Oh, yeah. He really was.
He still is.
Not me. I dug him.
I never liked him.
I liked him.
I have mixed feelings. Sometimes he was so arrogant at times. I mean, the players hated him.
As a kid, I didn't
like when he'd come on, he'd hug the guy, kiss him on the cheek. I thought that was cool.
I was just going to say, as a kid, the one reason I didn't like him was because of that.
I liked that.
I thought it was weird. It's like you're playing against a guy. Stop making out with him.
It's like walking into a Sopranos, you know.
Yeah, but you're playing against them.
I want you two to kiss each other.
Remember how many people thought he had AIDS when Magic had AIDS?
Yes, so many.
Oh, right.
He's out of hand.
Terrible.
So, wow. So how's the rap with Maz going?
Going good. Having a good time.
I see the Dan Dickerson show was on last week with you as a guest, or was it the other way around?
No. He was our guest. He was our guest. We only had him on for a bit. We had a great time. We learned about the Tigers of the future. We talked about the baseball playoffs. I think they're going to stay this way. I really do believe that.
What, in a bubble?
No, I believe that they will be playing all these extra games. I like them.
Hmm.
I like it. You know, back in the day, Drew, was when we were a little lad, it was just the AL and NL championship, and then best of five, and you're in the World Series.
Yep. Well, back then every game was huge. I feel like I can miss a game in this. Like if I miss baseball for a day, it's like whatever. I'll catch up tomorrow. It almost seems like the regular season.
Yeah, kind of. Well, but then again, you only.
I really liked it. I got to be honest. 60 games. I mean, you know, I wanted to be 120 games, but 60 games was pretty damn fun.
Wow. Oh, you think you want the 60 game season to stick this way?
No, I want 120, 130 games. That's my max.
Yeah,
that's by the playoffs.
I think they're going to be a little short of money, and they're going to need to play all those games next year.
How about more of those 7-inning doubleheaders?
I don't mind them.
I'll take that. I used to love doubleheaders.
I think they should play more doubleheaders. I really do.
Well, I prefer 9, but...
Yeah, you should play 9. You should play 9.
That is so soft now that I think about it. They're playing 2 7-inning games. That's Little League does that.
Yep. The Cardinals had to get in 50 games in like 40 days. They had to do that.
They only saved 4 innings.
Your cell phone blows.
Yeah, man, we lost you for a second there.
I'm sorry. I'm standing right in the same spot.
Really? Is the volleyball started?
Yeah, inside.
Oh, okay.
Are
we holding you up?
No, it's good. We're good.
Where's excuse?
Do you want to comment on the death of Eddie Van Halen, the great guitarist?
You know what? I'm not like you guys. I wasn't a big Van Halen fan, but mad respect, obviously, for the guy. And you know, he did
never
do
heard
a guitar
of him,
solo.
Max.
He did do a guitar solo on Michael Jackson's "Beat It." So you know, I tip my hat to the guy. And he had Valerie Bertinelli at her feet. So how can I not like him?
Tom,
that's very true.
Top 3 Van Halen songs. Go.
Mark, I can't name them. You know that.
All right, name one. Can you name one Van Halen song?
If you're on top of a building, people start chanting.
Jump.
Yes.
They really roll up. Jump. All right, go ahead. Give me another.
And then if you're going to a certain canal that's really famous, south, way south.
Erie.
A canal. No, a canal. The.
What do I don't on, know.
I gotta do better.
There's
a treaty. There's a blank canal.
Noriega.
There's a blank canal treaty.
Oh, Panama!
Yes!
That was their album, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, you're not cold for a student. You're
hot for teacher.
Yes!
Thank you.
I bet you anything you know that video.
Oh, yes. Of course I know that video.
Did you watch a lot of MTV back in the day?
Yes, I loved MTV.
Oh, well, then you should
tune in.
Probably know more songs.
I believe Eddie played with your boy Steve Lukather a lot.
Yes, they did. They were 2 great guitarists. How could they not?
Yeah, Lukather is on the whole Michael Jackson album.
Yep.
And they
all
brought.
Over it.
Apparently, they didn't think he could handle "Beat It," so they brought in Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Just saying.
Make it mad at your boy Michael.
Don't tell Luke that. Michael, his elbow's gonna hurt.
Luke. Maz, how did you get to be such a Lukather? How did you get so tight with Steve?
I was total fan, and I have a friend, Dr. Mark, and he's a huge music historian like you. And this guy knows everything, and he knows all these great soft rock guys that got bad
Mark.
Rap. They got bad rap, man. They're great musicians.
They're soft rock experts?
Yes.
Really? I didn't know that. What, like he knows who played drums on Margaritaville?
Yes, he knows all of that. Have a fun, like a Jeopardy. I'm telling you.
Man, that bass line on Minute by Minute by Michael McDonald is unbelievable.
He'll give it to you. He'll tell you every Michael McDonald, everything
great.
That he did.
And Silent Vocal Band had some great fills.
Little boy in South Park, dying of AIDS in the cold dark. How he got AIDS, I haven't a clue. Wasting away again because of AIDS and stuff.
I never heard that.
No, that's a first.
Was that a hit?
Yeah, huge hit. Mm-hmm. Regionally, though.
Oh, okay. Makes it kind of quite so bad.
It wasn't too big on the coast.
How about yesterday was the anniversary of the Beatles' first song that broke through here in America.
Love Me Do.
Love Me Do.
That's right. That was the difference maker.
I listened to Chris Carter's Breakfast with the Beatles. I listened to it twice. That's how much I enjoyed it.
Okay, did he talk about, this is a big bloop, talk about the fact that Lennon was supposed to sing Love Me Do, because they sing most of it together, but George Martin said, Paul, I want you to sing Love Me Do, because John's playing the harmonica. And so John was taking off the lead vocal.
Sounds like a great one.
I didn't know that.
That's a fact. They didn't have 24 tracks then, so I think it was kind of an issue. Just saying.
Oh, man. I love those early Beatles. Oh,
Maz, you don't have as much time in the car in the morning anymore.
I know.
So what are you listening to?
I have, in my office, I do have a little, speaker that I listen to the music every day. So music's playing all day. Hmm.
Satellite?
Satellite, of course. Sirius.
What are you still in the 60s at 6 or whatever?
Yeah. Well, Flash Phelps, I go back and forth between him and the 70s, the Scott Bach.
Is it Hollywood Hamilton or somebody?
What, on 60s?
Yeah, the morning guy?
No, 60s is Flash Phelps. 70s is Magic Matt Allen.
Magic Matt Allen. He was on in New York for a long time.
For the 80s, you got Mark Goodwin.
Who cares?
Now, Magic Matt Allen, he would know the bass line on Minute by Minute. He was on Z100 New York in the afternoon, wasn't he?
I don't think so, no. I think he's a California jock.
Oh, okay. I'm going to look that up because that bothers me. All right, Maz, listen, enjoy the volleyball. Is it volleyball?
You got to go? You guys got to go already?
Yeah, we have to go.
Your match is starting.
We have to go first, and I think your game's coming up pretty quick.
Okay. Well, I had to go.
Really?
I stayed on.
All right, Maz. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys. Good to talk to you.
We'll see you. Good luck with the Rap with Maz.
Listen to the Rap with Maz, for crying out loud.
Is there a new show?
You butt out.
Who's the new latest guest?
We did some Lions talk today with Dave Burkett.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
That's horseshit.
I'll have it out later tonight. He's got some great insight on Matt Patricia.
I can't wait to hear it. I'm going to check it out. Seriously. I swear to God. I listened to it, Maz.
But it's so good. So damn good.
All right. There's Tom. Okay. See you, Tom. Thomas.
I'm a racist.
Mazaway.
I'll fuck you up.
Did you know there was a Van Halen Beatles cover?
Crap.
Wait. There is?
I guess. I
think it's live. It's just live.
It is live.
Is it Drive My Car?
Jesus Christ, yeah. So you've heard it?
I don't think. I heard they covered it. And I almost didn't believe it.
This is from 1976.
Well, this must be for one of the backyard parties.
Yeah. You can already hear David Lee yapping, too.
Wow, it sounds weird hearing them do this.
Yeah.
Turn my headphones up!
This must be a Roth selection.
I mean, does he add a crazy solo or anything? Let me jump forward. Jump forward again.
There it is.
Yeah, he kind of added his little Eddie thing.
Nailed it. Okay. Many friends at Zot Ford. We're talking about Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram now. They're kicking off their Jeep Celebration event. And if you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles like Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, if you like those kind of things, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered. How about the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month, or the new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month? If you need a truck, lease the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Pure performance poured into an SUV that drives like a sports car. 2020 Dodge Durango GT. That just sounds fast. At $343 a month. And you know the game. No Zot spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. People love the Wrangler. And you got time to custom order a Wrangler to your specs because they got them. Get details, surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Oh, yeah. Luke Nowacki. What's the market doing today?
You didn't see what happened in the market
today? I did not.
So Trump had that lovely tweet.
What was the tweet?
That he's not, he's instructed Congress to stop negotiating with the Democrats over the stimulus bill until after the election. And
wait, he's instructed
the market switched about 600 points into negative territory. It was up, I think it was up 300 and went down 200.
Are they actually negotiating?
Yeah, they have been. Remember she was meeting with Mnuchin?
Oh, well, so I mean, there's only been.
Graph. Gee, can you tell what time he tweeted at?
Well, there's only been no agreement for how long has it been without a stimulus?
I not look at that graph, though. And you can see right when it is, right what time he tweeted at.
Well. How many? So 600 point drop?
Is that a winning thing for him?
I don't know. I don't understand why he would say that.
Biden's a socialist that wants to give everybody money?
Why? I don't understand. What is the strategy there?
To vote for them because they're going to get the right stimulus through, I guess. I don't know. I believe me, I don't like it one bit. I think it's really stupid and selfish on both sides.
Personally, Holly, has it been 3 months now?
Yes.
Since we have, I mean, what the fuck?
Not that far apart.
Oh, they're not?
I didn't think they were based on what the stuff I read.
Well, they were billions apart before. But
I
haven't paid that much attention to it lately. Anyway, Luke Nowacki can help you make decisions when crazy shit like this is going on. Yeah. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 for rational financial advice. Coronavirus, what's it mean now? What's it mean in 6 months, 6 years? Stocks or bonds? 401ks? 529s? Are you concerned about your child going to college and making it through without coming out in horrendous debt? Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategy. Because you should have a plan of some kind so you don't outlive your money. 248-663-4748. Close.
Oh, balls.
Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Reliance Social Incorporated, member FINRA, CPCS, Reliance Social Incorporated, sub under entities and or marketing names, product service reference here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. So, okay. You know, my whole day is just so mixed up because I was really.
Oh, Brandon.
Lordy. I was chewing up the day as I normally do, and then all of a sudden Eddie Van Halen dies. It's like, I don't care about anything else.
I just want
to listen to some Van Halen music.
Yeah, I was going to say, in a weird way, it's kind of a nice distraction.
Eddie. No, in that way, I know what you mean. I mean, honestly, I was like, oh, my God, Eddie Van Halen. And you're right. He hasn't toured in a while. He hasn't put out music in a while. But I still just, it's just this horrible feeling that it can't be. It can't possibly be anymore. And... You know, it's as final as
can be.
Yep. Tom Petty felt sort of like that, too, because you knew Tom Petty had something left.
His was a big surprise, though.
It was.
I mean, not that Eddie's isn't, but...
And Prince was. That was a big surprise. Oh, man, that was a big surprise.
Yeah.
But it did make me want to listen to Van Halen, and I was... what was I cranking? Oh, Pound Cake? Mm. And what's the song with that?
That's not Pound Cake? That's not at the very beginning of that?
Yeah, it is the beginning of Pound Cake. They were playing it on the MTV Awards in 91. It was just fucking awesome. And I just saw the way that opened up and the lights pop on that stage. And there, it's like an energy thing. Not just the music, but those four guys just. And I don't know how you rebuild that with a new lead singer, too. That's really quite amazing.
Yeah.
And I was watching Us Festival stuff with Roth, too. And as fucked up as he was, it was really good. I mean, really fucking good. That was the show the manager was so pissed about.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is Sammy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good song.
It is. Great. It's really one of my favorites. Is there a tweet from Sammy yet?
Nothing from Sharon still. Maybe they're just inconsolable.
Let me check Twitter. Well, Jackson was when Elizabeth Taylor died. He could have tweeted.
Yeah!
I mean, you can't not know this is a Van Halen song.
Yeah. I always liked OU812 too.
I do too.
For Sammy.
Love it. Here's a picture.
Black and Blue.
Yeah, great song. God, I completely forgot about this song.
Such a good song.
Completely.
No.
I didn't even think about it today, and I was looking for songs to play. Museum Pictures has a picture of Eddie Van Halen and David Lee Roth outside of McDonald's in 1978. Great picture. McDonald's over 24 billion sold. It's the old sign.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Why are they posing for? It's funny looking at pictures like that, realizing that, you know, it took a lot more to take a picture back then.
Yeah.
So why?
Eddie's making an intentionally stupid face.
Like Dave's trying to weasel back into the band.
I brought my pencil. You got nobody. A little more volume in the headphones, please. I'm gonna fuck your girlfriend, pal. You'll get some leg tonight for sure. Tell us how you do.
Oh, God.
Here's some more tweets. Let's see. Singer of Van Halen, David Roth, was against Eddie Van Halen working with Michael Jackson on the hit song Beat It. Eddie didn't give a damn and did it anyway.
Yeah.
Sklar Brothers. The Sklar Brothers?
Yeah.
They went to Michigan.
R.I.P. Eddie Van Halen. Somewhere David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar are fighting over who's more broken up about the news.
That's pretty funny.
True story, 1978, Eddie Van Halen got so pissed at David Lee Roth backstage, he threw a bowl of guacamole at him. The guac didn't hit Roth, it hit Steve Perry,
and
Steve Perry cried.
I remember hearing about that story.
Yep.
He cried,
yeah.
Guacamole.
I think that was in the Running with the Devil book.
This is funny. Will Fight, F-I-T-E, tweets, bro, how the hell did Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Ozzy Osbourne, all Motley Crue, and Dave Lee Roth outlive Eddie Van Halen? Wild shit, man.
That's a good point. Genetics?
Could be. Let's see. Where's the Pete Townsend quote? Oh, Pete Townsend was quoted as saying...
This is going to be really deep.
Not really. That incredible virtuosity combined with that beautiful grin allows me to forgive him for letting Dave Lee Roth stand in front of him all those years. He's not a Roth fan, apparently. Let me go to the trending Twitter. Let's see what that's got. Variety, Wolfie.
Wolfie was the one that announced it, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony Iommi, we had that. Flea, Brian Wilson, Lenny Kravitz, Kenny Chesney. Oh, come on. There's got to be some new ones, right? Mm-hmm. Seems like after Nickelback.
Nickelback.
Wait, David Lee Roth. No tweet. I don't see a tweet from Roth on here. Come on, Roth. Well, anyway.
I just see Hagar's. I don't see Roth.
What did Hagar say?
He put out a tweet that's with a picture with Eddie, and it says, "I'm heartbroken and speechless. My love to the family."
Guy Fieri just tweeted, "R.I.P. to a legend."
Flavor Town.
Everybody was waiting for Guy Fieri's tweet about Eddie Van Halen.
Geezer Butler.
Wait, what did
Vince Neil?
What did Vince say?
I just found out my guitar hero Eddie passed away. I have fond memories of the tours we did together. He's up there shredding. Rip, my friend. And then he said, hey, hey. I should have started it with hey, hey.
He should have had all his tweets with hey, hey.
What the
Sebastian
hell?
Bach.
Here's a clip from MTV News, old interview with Eddie. It's kind of cool.
Does it make you nervous to be called like a guitar hero at all? And you just, people are putting you on the cover of Guitar Player magazine. Here he is, God. I mean, do you feel a little odd about that sort of thing?
It's nice, but sometimes it's like, come on, you know, I'm just a punk kid who plays guitar.
One tub of the Zorn get
and
the
you
interview.
You surprise yourself when you're playing along something, you hit some run of notes, you say, wow.
Oh, yeah, sometimes I freak myself out, you know. You go, whoa, that's kind of magical, you know. But those kind of things you can't always count on, you know.
What's the interviewer's name? He's such a
inspirational,
stiff.
You know, spur moment thing. And, wow, how did I do that? And I'll try doing it again, and I can't, you know.
He's a huge stiff.
Does it
Loader?
Yeah.
No, Loader's a. Have you
he
ever?
He puts the load in Loader.
Have you ever looked at his background? He's kind of a badass, man.
He's a badass. He's not a badass. He wrote for Rolling Stone. He bitched about MTV for 10 years, and then he went to the enemy. He sold out.
He's like Schroeder.
He's okay. I mean,
did you get Neil Shons?
I was gonna say he was in the army.
What'd the Shonster say?
He posted another picture as well of them hanging out back in the day, because according to this picture, you really don't know which one the better guitarist is, really. But he said, God bless you, Eddie. I'll always remember the great times we had. My sincere condolences to the family. I'm broken. Rip, brother.
I'm broken.
I'm sorry. Heartbroken.
So he thinks that he's going to read that, because he said he writes it to him, right?
Yeah.
And then
Rick Springfield.
He was in a picture with Eddie.
How about you, sweetheart?
Here I am with Eddie Van Halen, the guy that just died.
How about you, sweetheart?
What do you got, Brandon? I'm sorry.
Rick Springfield.
Springfield.
Eddie literally changed the way players play guitar. The band upstairs getting pretty damn amazing, too.
AJ McLean, you want to hear what he said?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He had the whole Backstreet Boy clan was on Dancing with Stars last night.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so he's capitalizing on that by sending out condolence tweets? I'm so sad to hear the passing of Eddie Van Halen. He was an inspiration to so many, myself included.
No, he wasn't.
His legacy will
I don't hear it.
God, get another legend. God got another legend way too soon. You don't remember all those sweet solos AJ McLean played
in
the Backstreet Boys?
I really hear the Van Halen influence in this. Backstreet's back, all right.
Why is that song so funny to me?
Because it's
like
silly.
This badass punch. It's like, the boys are back in town.
But it's five guys together going, all right.
Yeah, dancing. Yeah.
All right.
Backstreet's back, all right.
Yeah. I kind of want to hear it. Can you play it from the beginning? Because I like that crazy synth or whatever. Is that a bass?
Boom, 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 boom.
See, Maz's buddy would know who plays that bass line.
That badass bass line on Backstreet Boys.
All right.
Everybody.
Just listen to that Van Halen influence.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Rock your body right.
Yeah, bring the bottom end in.
Backstreet's back.
All right.
There it is.
I think that's James Jamerson playing that bass line.
Yeah. I got no love. Gonna bring the flame. I'll show you how.
Can you hear me?
Question for you, better answer now.
Am I
your victim? Wouldn't it be great if they added David Lee Roth to the Backstreet Boy concert? Real?
It would kill. It would absolutely kill. What's the name of the song?
Everybody, isn't it?
Everybody. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that a big hit?
Oh, that was a massive
huge
hit.
Huge hit.
Oh, boy. Okay, I was just looking at the lyrics.
It was on the top of TRL for like 8 weeks.
Yeah, boy. Everybody, rock your body. Everybody, rock your body right. Rock your body right? Isn't that stupid?
Yeah, do it right. Yeah, you don't want to rock your body wrong. Okay. Drew got hurt.
And then, back streets, back. All right.
All right.
Oh, my God, we're back again. Brothers, sisters, everybody sing. We're going to bring the flavor, show you how. I got a question for you. Better answer now, or I'll kick your fucking ass. This backstreet's back.
All right.
Am I original? Am I the only one? Yeah. Am I sexual?
Yeah. Oh.
Wait, that was pretty dangerous, wasn't it? Am I sexual? Yeah. Am I everything you need? You better rock your body now. This backstreet's back.
All right.
Everybody, yeah! Rock your body. Everybody, rock your body right. Backstreet's back. All right.
Boom, 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 boom.
Now throw your... There's that bass line. Now throw your hands up in the air and wave them around like you just don't care. Don't give a fuck, man!
This is like Lennon McCartney material.
If you want a party, let me hear you yell, because we've got it going on again! Backstreet's back, motherfucker! Kick out the jams! Backstreet's back, motherfucker! Oh my God, is that horrible? Wait, Backstreet Boys, everybody under Genius Lyrics?
Yeah. Well, no, that's the website.
I think Genius Lyrics is the website.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But how could this be on Genius Lyrics website?
Oh, they have every lyric. That's a good app. The Genius app?
Yeah, but
do you remember when you couldn't find lyrics to certain songs because it wasn't maybe written in the CD cover? And
I remember.
You never knew what the hell. I mean, wasn't there a huge debate on that, like, there's a bathroom on the right with CCR?
Well, the big one was Nirvana, when Nirvana came out with Nevermind. And I remember MTV made a big deal about how, we're going to show you the lyrics for Smells Like Teen Spirit during the video. Because you didn't have subtitling then. And then I remember they put out a single. It might have been for Lithium. And they're like, all the lyrics for Nevermind will be printed in the Lithium single. So I bought it.
Gotta buy it.
I bought it. I still have it. It's just, you know,
that'd be a cool single. I love that song. That might be my favorite Nirvana song.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Okay, I got to mention, it's been an exciting return for the Yaldo Eye Center. Many people have taken advantage of the reopening of doctor's offices to get the life-changing eye surgeries they had to postpone for the 40 and under group. Topography guided LASIK, the most precise in the world, allows you to throw your contacts and glasses in the garbage and see better than you could ever see with them. So if you're over 45, multifocal lens replacements will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. And $1,500 off the regular price. If you mention that you heard it on this here show, the Drew and Mike show, get a free evaluation at 800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and tell them you want that discount. And you get half off surgery if you bring a friend and they have a consult and get surgery. So how about that? Very nice. Again, it's YaldoEyeCenter.com, 1-800-398-EYES. And... all right, moving on. There was a big show today, a big story today, and Brandon sent it on, and I couldn't help digging into this one. We've seen this story so many times too. Oh, I got all my pages mixed up. When Eddie died, everything just went to hell.
Please find it, because right now all I have in my head is everybody.
I know that's not going away.
Hey, that Pearlman knew how to create a hook. And molest boys. All right. Pearlman. Way to go, Pearlman.
Just the fact that he's involved makes it really hard to accept it at all.
It's so perfectly dumb.
Okay. So this local woman, Zainab Shaban, is suing the city of Detroit and the Michigan Department of Corrections because she was forced to remove a religious head covering, violating the Constitution. This argument comes up all the time. Yeah. I get so tired of it because, you know, it's like license photos and stuff. If you're arrested, well, they need to know how you look. It's, you know, and frankly, anybody can put something on and say it is what it is. I'm not saying she's not her, you know, the religion that she says she is, but I mean, that's a problem. What if I'm in a religion where I have to wear a Richard Nixon mask and a sumo suit all the time.
Well, then you wear it.
For my booking photo?
There's a documentary about that. It's the spaghetti, the flying spaghetti monster religion. Have you ever heard about this?
Sounds interesting.
Very disrespectful.
What? The Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster? But I believe it started because of some complaint about that, and it's developed into a real, I'm putting that in air quotes, religion now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, 20 years ago, I would be like, fuck you. Take your hijab off. Nobody's getting hard over your hair, but I'm not going to say that right now because I'm trying to be a little more
woke.
Open-minded. Okay, I'm trying to be a little more woke.
You're woke.
I really don't want to admit to the word woke.
I mean, you want Al Michaels fired, so that's two wokes.
No, I really don't want him fired either.
I know.
But I just think you have to, if you were that upset about taking your head covering off, you shouldn't get arrested. Don't get arrested. You want to take it off.
I didn't see the details of the case. The only thing it mentions that whatever it was she was arrested for, she was later acquitted. So,
well, I read the same thing, and it's actually a very complicated story. So complicated, I can't fully flesh it out here. I mean, honestly, God, I read multiple legal pages. And, it may be that she's done nothing wrong at all. She had a bankruptcy. She had an issue with her ex regarding her six-year-old, who she says her ex kidnapped, and of course her ex is not disagree with this exactly all of the scenarios I'm laying out here. And then there is I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but there is let's see, what's the name of it? It's like a GoFundMe.
But how many people haven't been pulled over, too? I mean, you need an ID for that.
Well, yeah,
is the booking
people
photo,
need to know how you look. I mean, it's kind of a law thing.
This is a tough one.
It's a little tough.
We hold religion so near and dear in this country.
Well, and maybe that's the problem. I don't have much empathy.
Some more than others.
Exactly.
This situation, though, this occurs whether you are arrested for murder or you're arrested for domestic violence or you're arrested for anything. Nobody wants to reveal what they look like below the hijab. Because, and my feeling is, when you commit a felony and you are indeed convicted of, which she wasn't, that, you really, seems to me you're not really following your religion that carefully.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Does your religion mean that much to you if you murdered somebody or if you committed an assault or something like that? And honestly, I think it's a real problem for law enforcement. You know, there are people who are in this religion who do commit serious crimes, and that's just like anyone in any religion. I mean, every religion has its criminals. No religion can say, hey, our religion's clean. Nobody does anything wrong in our religion.
Yeah,
I know it's kind of a ridiculous stretch, but it's true.
A booking photo is different than an ID, but yeah.
I would agree with that.
Because a booking photo is how you look during the crime, right?
Crime. I was very intrigued about the...
Here's a picture of a Pastafarian, and the guy won the right to wear his colander on his head and his ID. They're called Pastafarians, the spaghetti monsters.
It's blasphemous. Wait,
you mean in his driver's license photo?
In July 2011, Austrian Pastafarian Nico Ulm won the legal right to be shown in his driver's license photo wearing a pasta strainer on his head. After 3 years spent pursuing permission. Well, it's kind of mocking. And I
know what he's doing, and I appreciate it, but look how dumb this gets.
Well, that's
What's wrong with my sumo suit, my Nixon mask? That's my religion. Prove it's not.
Start it.
All right, let me take my picture with my Richard Nixon mask and my sumo suit.
Sumo Nixonian? Nixon? I'm just trying to think of the name for it.
Okay, well, let me find... Why can't I find the story about her GoFundMe?
Wait, here's a guy in Jersey who won the right to wear a pasta strainer on his head. Stupid.
Disrespect.
Why is it just... That's their religion.
It's not their religion, and you know that.
Says who? Mocking
it.
Who defines...
They're mocking religion in general.
Serious question. Who defines a religion? Is Scientology a religion?
Well, I mean, if you want to take that route and defend Scientology too, Mark,
yeah, it is. Technically, it is called a religion. That's what I mean.
They don't pay taxes.
Okay, there's...
Michigan's
Scientologists do. The church doesn't, though.
The church, that's
yeah,
what I
no,
mean.
No, I agree, it's a church.
A cult, not a religion.
But that's what I mean. Well, it's like nobody... There are some things that you just have to do. that everyone has to do, in my opinion, to be an American, and it's a pretty low bar compared to other countries.
The clear
it's answer, a very low bar.
The clear answer is everyone should just be totally nude in their booking photos, no matter what religion you say you are.
Well, you know, this idea that you're nude without your hijab, really? I mean, guys are just... I mean, are guys pounding off in the next room because somebody took their hijab
maybe
off?
I don't know what they do.
No,
yarmulke on? And no, that doesn't really obscure anything, though.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, I'm trying to be open-minded about it, but I just feel like it's... aren't there some...
Jewish.
But I will say this, the hijab just covers the hair, right?
Yeah, the hair and the neck. And the neck and the ears.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much.
Yeah.
For anyone, of course, to see and not completely lose it.
Yeah, I think a booking photo is vastly different than an ID.
I don't think it's that different.
Oh, I
think it's different, but not entirely different. In this case, because she was not convicted of this crime, I give her a little more room. She says she was traumatized because an officer in the adjoining room could have seen her.
But didn't.
She says a male member of the janitorial staff is believed to have seen her without her hijab, which she says is the equivalent of a woman walking around completely naked in front of strangers.
It's not.
No, I know. It's not. It is not.
I have actual audio of that night and the janitor after it was removed.
I think any secular judge and jury would go, it's not the same.
No, it's not.
Sorry.
It's not. And I don't really, to be honest, I don't really understand women in this religion, but, you know, that's not up to me.
If it's their choice, then.
Well, they certainly do sacrifice a lot, in my opinion.
I don't
but
get it.
They like it, so that's fine. So, anyway, she was traumatized at the Detroit Detention Center and forced to wear a wristband with the photograph with her not having a hijab, so. That is to get you from one place to another in the, you know,
gotcha,
it's your ID.
Yeah.
So that also was traumatizing. And let's see what else. Okay. This campaign, it's called a Launch Good campaign. What is a Launch Good campaign?
No idea.
Well, if you look up Launch Good and put in Zainab Shaban, it comes up. And it says that she's trying to raise money to find her 6-year-old daughter. She needs money for private investigators and for...
Launch Good is a GoFundMe for Muslims worldwide. So it's, raise money for Muslims only.
Muslims only?
I guess.
Is it not a little exclusive or not so inclusive?
Well, I mean as long as you're Muslim.
If you said for Christians only or for white people only, wouldn't people sort of object to that?
Sure.
I didn't hear him arguing when we came out with ChristianMingle.com.
Or farmers only.
That's a dating site. It just seems a little...
There's a question. How do you prove it? How do you prove it?
True.
You just sign up anyway.
Well, she seems to be... I think she had raised a lot of money on this Launch Good to find a 6-year-old. Can we find out if she found her 6-year-old?
Well, I'm,
can I get a forensic accountant on all this, please?
I'm on the Launch Good right now, but I don't see...
Because I couldn't find the 6-year-old's been kidnapped. I couldn't find the police report or the story.
I did find her name. Hold on.
Back street. I realize. Back.
All right.
Still stuck in my head.
So I have her name. I have her daughter's name, and I have this Launch Good.
But I mean, seems to me we would have gotten an alert... Had this 6-year-old gone missing in Detroit, wouldn't
we?
Yeah,
we absolutely would have.
Okay, well,
it would have scared everybody when it went off on their phone, and then everyone would furiously Google how to turn off Amber Alerts on my phone.
All right, I see something on another, on a change.org. This is in the comment section. This is when it looks like Zainab Shaban had posted on this, and she said, "My daughter is 7 years old. This was in February of this year. My daughter is 7 years old and was parentally abducted to India from Michigan. The last I saw her was in September of 2019.
So, is there a police report or anything? I mean, that has to be, right? Take a child to India and nobody says anything. There's no police, no
Amber
nothing.
Alert?
Yeah, I would think it'd be an Amber Alert to start with, and then I would think there would be an additional, there would be a news report or something on it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to pick on this person if her daughter is kidnapped to India. I mean,
we only
that's
have her side
terrible.
Of the story. Yeah.
But I just, when I saw...
It's a fine kidnap.
When I saw the launch good and the money it was asking for, I just got a little... you know, and then the lawsuit, and then the rest of the story, which I haven't even told you yet.
Well, you're right. It is interesting. She was innocent of the crime, right?
Yeah, she was innocent. I don't even know what the charge was, to be honest. They never tell you. But I do know this, that she was married to this guy, and she owned a home in Detroit, and they got divorced, and apparently there is some extreme fight over the child, and I'm really unclear as to what it is. I feel like this is like something they just set up, and they didn't really, because you can't find legal stuff on any of this.
Well, Channel
7. Do you see anything on the child custody or anything like that?
Channel 7 no. has the whole filing, so I'm reading that really quick.
But that's about this story. That's about the right. the hijab story. I'm talking
and
about this.
I even
this.
Have his name. I have the husband's name, but I can't find anything on him either.
I want our friends accountant on the launch good. Make sure that money has been properly.
Jihad R.B. Muhammad.
Or maybe somebody will tell us. And I repeat, if indeed this is as it stands, that's terrible. But here's the thing. This dispute over this child was so extreme that they went to the police station to exchange the child back and forth.
Boy.
I don't know what the dispute was, but I know that she owned this house and she sold it on a quit claim, which is, this is a very complicated way to sell a home. Not how I would do it, but
a quit claim.
A quit claim.
Okay.
Q-U-I-T.
Oh, I actually didn't know.
It's very inappropriate considering the subject matter.
I thought it was an anagram or what's that?
Anyway,
stop it.
Here's the thing: he paid her $10,000 in cash. This is the ex-husband still. It's like, why are you selling him the house if you're fighting over the kid?
Yeah.
And you have exchanged the kid at the police station, and he kidnapped. This is before the kidnapping, obviously. If there was kidnapping. He paid her $10,000 in cash. She then claims that she lost the cash at a shopping mall.
What bullshit.
I'm just saying.
Bull.
I'm just saying.
It's gone. Just don't worry about it.
So there was
it's
some
gone.
Dispute over what happened to the $10,000, and it ended up being that she said she lost it at the shopping mall.
Well, so, either lying or an idiot.
Anyway,
who would believe that?
I don't know. They made arrangements that he would pay the rest of the $35,000 in installments to her father. And I believe she claims that her parents kept some of the money from her and that she didn't get all the money. The claim...
God, everything's always someone else's fault.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Jesus.
And she declared bankruptcy.
Allah. Fuck.
She declared bankruptcy and then she launched this launch good campaign to raise money for the
for
investigators and for she wanted lawyers too. Best lawyers only. I think she raised a lot of it. Looked to me. Like she raised, did you see the launch good, how much money was raised?
No.
No.
Brandon, isn't it like check the launch good out with her name?
It didn't see that was what I was asking because when I pull it up I don't see when you see a GoFundMe, you see how much they want and how far they've gone. This one, it just spins for me. It just says loading and there's a partial fund.
I thought it said $166,000.
Oh, damn. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong one then.
Well, maybe I was looking at the wrong one. I don't know. I mean, is there indeed a launch good in her name? Maybe I misspelled her name.
This is really interesting. In the filing, they just have case after case in other states.
Oh, no. It's an incredibly endless parade of activity, legal activity. And it just made me think a little bit less of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
And then I saw the launch good, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, see, this is what I keep seeing right here, you see? I don't see any money.
Project, help me find my daughter.
Did you read this filing?
I read a lot of it, yes.
About that part where he pushed her off the porch? And miraculously, she was able to...
Read all the story. I don't know the story.
She grabbed his arm miraculously and then pulled him off the porch too. Boy, if that's not one side of the story, okay. I don't know what
here
is.
Here it is. All right. Here it is right here.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Now, this is the overall numbers for launch good. So far, they've raised $166 million.
For only Arabic people. That's really nice.
No, not Arabic. Muslim.
If you're Muslim.
I'm going to become Muslim then.
I know.
Same thing.
Cash in on some of this sweet lunch good money.
Plus, I can make my girl wear a hijab.
Assalamu alaikum, Maida.
So I don't come unglued all the time.
Why do you want your woman to wear a hijab? I don't get it.
It's because it's considered too invasive to see their hair and.
No, I know, but why would you want?
I don't, Mark. That's I mean.
At least it saves the money from going to the salon. Am I right, guys?
Well, what about there's a Jewish there's a sect of the Jewish religion where women have to shave their hair off.
What? Really?
Yeah, or they just can't ever show it. I think the woman I saw, I learned all this on 90 Day Fiancé.
I think it's interesting.
Well, the 90 Day Fiancé story going on right now is a guy in Qatar or somewhere, and this girl's from Florida. She's married, which he doesn't know. And so he's trying to, like, break her into the, you know, this is what you got to do. And she's like, hey, I like wearing swimsuits. She's got big tits. She likes flaunting them. And this guy's parents are like, she must wear different clothes. She must, you know, and plus at one point he said something to her in front of the parents like, I'm crazy about you. And I want to be here. And she's like, well, you don't want everything that I want. And the parents went loony. The mother threw out of the house saying she disrespected her son. So the women are really, they don't have a lot of latitude in this particular relationship.
I'm still going through this brief. This story is really weird about.
I know. It's incredibly, it's insane, Mark.
She's standing on the porch of the ex-husband's house. He slowly pushed Ms. Chabon backwards in an attempt to steady herself. She instinctively reached out, grabbed his arm, causing them both to tumble off. They both called the police. But she left the scene after waiting 3 hours in her car, and police did not arrive. When the police showed up, they told Ms. Chabon to leave her ex-husband's house or they would arrest her. So which one is it? Did she leave and then come back? Or
get out of here.
Doesn't that seem kind of contradictory?
Yes.
A couple of weeks later, she was driving her car a couple of blocks away from her home. She was arrested and taken into custody.
Nobody understands it.
There'd be a lot missing right there.
There was some... I think there was... There was a two-sided argument in this relationship. These people needed to be separated, clearly.
Yeah.
They can't exchange a kid unless it's a police station and on and on and on, and you need this GoFundMe or this lunch good or whatever it is.
She had a restraining order against the ex-husband, but the police arrested her for being at his house. Like, she went there.
Yeah, it didn't seem that she really was looking for restraint if she went to his house. I read the same thing.
Sure seems fishy.
Really weird story.
And there's a lot of legal activity and a lot of need for lawyers, a lot of need for investigators, a lot of need for money, and she has trouble holding on to money because she loses it at the shopping mall.
It's true.
And then her parents steal it, and then she has to declare bankruptcy, and she wants the parents to pay her what they owe her. And
she lost it at the shopping mall, but man, she found a bunch of nice clothing, too. Maybe she bought a bunch of stuff.
I think the GoFundMe or the launch good is partially to replace the 10 grand.
They're certainly not worthier causes.
Yeah, maybe this kid is in India. I don't know. I mean, how do you know? I just kept looking for that in the police. There's got to be something like that happen and there's nothing in the news about it.
Isn't there the Chad Daybill law where the kid should be produced within a certain amount of days?
Yes, absolutely. I want both of them thrown in jail if there's no kid.
Maybe.
A little weird.
I know. It was just... Like I said, my day was just boogieing along, and then Eddie Van Halen died. Now I just feel like everything is completely gone to hell.
I know. We haven't even talked about what happened at the Meyer in Van Buren Township.
Oh, I don't even know what happened at the Meyer.
Do you know, Brandon, what happened to the Meyer in Van Buren Township?
The Meyer?
I predicted some guy brought his penis out. I don't know why.
Oh, you're very close.
I was going
to
say.
A man went to this Meyer, took a box off the shelf. It was empty. Pooped in it, closed it, put it back on the shelf, and left.
Really?
Meyer
security. Did someone buy it and then eat it? No, and so they're suing?
You just picture that person. What's in the box? This is pulling a buy. Well, I kind of want to know.
Really not cool.
Don't you want to know?
It's poop.
What the box was for? Like, is it for a toaster?
Well, yeah. Was it for, you know, was it Lincoln Logs? Yeah. I mean, could someone be confused?
Some kids playing with this guy's turds. A Meyer security footage recorded the suspect pooping in the aisle and placing the defecated box back on the shelf.
What's a funny little stunt?
It happened last.
An adorable stunt.
He also then stole some items from the store. I mean, the guy's putting so much attention on himself.
Well,
here's my favorite.
He took a dump in the to distract them from the stuff he was stealing.
Oh, that's
so they're so hung up going, oh, my God, did that just happen? Let's look at the tape. Meanwhile, he's ripping everything off.
Maybe he has a stomach issue. That was the only thing he could find. And then he had to take everything out of the box, put his dump in there, and he didn't know what to do with it, so he just left the store.
My favorite retail story is the kid.
I just want to wrap one thing up on this.
What's in the box?
This is the part that actually made me laugh the hardest. Police uploaded the footage onto their Facebook page because Meyer.
Oh, sweet. Can we see it?
Well, no, because Meyer officials requested the police department to take any images and videos of the incident down.
What? Meyer? Let's call the Meyer store.
That's part of their corporate policy.
No, call the Meyer store. That's bullshit. Okay. We are entitled to see that because this man's a menace.
Well, he's clearly on the loose.
That is total bullshit. I want a Meyer manager on the phone immediately.
Okay. So what were we going to say? I think I have an idea what it reminds you of. Another video?
The kid who was with his parents, and they had like a tent in the store, and the kid went into the tent and just took a shit in this tent, which is displayed because it was a new tent or something, and then just took a dump and came out. And it was on surveillance.
That's awesome.
Well, the kid going in and the kid coming out, and then people going, oh, God, what's going on?
Oh, my God. I shouldn't tell the story, but I'm going to tell this story. So Annie, you know, she's 2.5.
Yeah.
She's pretty well potty trained.
Good for her.
She likes to just, like, hang out by herself. The other day, Julie and Charlotte were outside. Annie goes, I'm going inside. She's like, okay. So she just goes inside. And every time Julie would go to the door to peek on to see if she's okay, she'd run up and shut the door on her. She just wanted to play by herself.
She's solo.
So she's upstairs doing whatever. And she was supposed to go upstairs and put a new shirt on because she just got stuff over her shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I go up there and she's totally.
Look how independent she is.
She's unfortunately too independent. So I go upstairs. She's nude in her room. There's a little bit of feces on the floor.
What?
And I went, oh my gosh, Annie, did you just poop on the floor? And she got really happy and she goes, no, I pooped. And then ran to the bathroom to show me she didn't know how to wipe. She was so proud of herself. And I'm like, you're so gross. But good job, honey. Way to poop in the toilet by yourself.
Wait.
What?
I thought their poop was on the floor.
She went to the bathroom, didn't wipe, went back in and sat down and played.
Oh, I get it.
It wasn't like a log sitting on the floor, but it was just like, why is there poop on the floor? So I spent the next half hour cleaning. But
there is a smell. It smelled like a shit.
But how could I not be very proud of her for doing that all by herself?
Well, she's moving in the right direction.
There's some gross shit.
I feel poopy.
That's just awful.
I love those drops, by the way. That I hate you because I hate you. Do we still have those?
I don't accept your apology.
I know I hate you.
I know I hate you because I hate you.
What a dick. All right, let's call Meyer.
Yeah, I got to get serious here. This is important.
I don't know why that's a corporate policy.
And thank you for calling the Belleville Meyer.
Please choose one of the following options.
It's poop.
Rather than take up any more of your time, let me connect you to someone who can help.
Thank you.
One moment, please.
I think you all cut through all the work.
What's the police department? Customer care. For quality and training purposes, this call may be monitored or recorded.
There's the story.
If you prefer an interpreter, we will be happy to provide this service upon request. Currently, all our customer care representatives are answering customer calls. Please
hold,
and your
this
call
menace
will be answered
is.
In the order it was received. Thank you.
That's not very reassuring. I can't believe what fun governors Meyer officials are for not allowing the images to be on the Facebook page. What kind of corporate policy is that? We're trying to find this creep.
Apparently it's not worth them enough to find it. They don't want to be embarrassed by the story.
Yes, they wanted to go.
Customer care representatives,
they wanted to go do it in other stores.
Please hold, and your call will be answered.
I was leaving Meyer.
Thank you.
There's a big news truck. There's a woman talking to a guy right next to my truck. She comes up to me and says, hey, can I, before she even finishes, I just say no, because I was in a bad mood.
What a jerk.
And all she wanted to do was interview me about this guy that was flashing his donger at a Meijer in Rochester Hills. And I still kick myself, man, over blowing that man on the street. I am very upset about that. I wanted to be on TV as soon as I said no.
Was this another Kristen and Maddie dumping?
All our customer care representatives are answering customer calls. Please
hold. No, this was in the... This was actually right after you left 105.1. And I was all angry with my current show host. And I wanted to get out of my...
What show was that?
Possible.
I was on YouTube. I think I was looking at Van Halen stuff today. And it recommended, and I totally forgot about this, and now that he's a lion, it's kind of funny. Do you remember when Adrian Peterson was interviewed as a man on the street in Houston over something?
Wow, I don't really remember that.
Ever seen that video?
I don't know. I don't think so.
See if I can find it.
All our customer care representatives,
but it made me like Adrian Peterson even more.
Please hold, and your call will be...
I don't know if this was pre-switch or post-switch.
What was he being interviewed about?
Road rage.
Oh, cool.
No one's picking up the phone over here. Here you go. It's not that long.
About road rage.
Road rage, huh?
Yeah. So, have you ever had anyone go road rage on you?
I have. It's been a long time, you know. I definitely had somebody go road rage on me before.
What happened? They point a gun at you?
Oh, no. I didn't get to that level. But kind of slammed the brakes in front of me, and I was able to kind of maneuver and get around.
So they talk for a while, and then, of course, he has to ask him for his name.
People, you never know what people, how they will react to it.
Maybe.
So, all right, your name?
Adrian Peterson.
Wait. Wait a minute. You're not.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know why I found that so funny.
It's funny that he stopped for a man on the street thing.
And he talked
for makes me like him.
Exactly. Maybe. And he was very polite and very kind with what he said.
Please hold, and your call will be answered in the order.
Oh, man.
I swear the word maybe is just ruined for me. Kind of like bikini.
She was wearing a bikini. Are we ready to give up on Meyer?
I guess so. Let's call them tomorrow. Maybe. Let's make a note to do that.
That's terrible hold music.
Did you guys see today that this woman who recorded Melania Trump released another piece of audio tape where Melania Trump calls Stormy Daniels a porn hooker in a shocking new tape released by former friend Stephanie Winston Wolkoff?
Oh, she had three names.
I don't know, because she recorded Melania Trump without telling her, and she's supposedly her friend. If you Google, this is Melania. If you Google, go Google and read it. Annie Leibovitz shot the porn hooker, and she will be one of the issues of Vogue.
Porn hooker.
And then there's another clip of her saying, "My husband is the most popular president ever."
Okay.
But I read this and I couldn't stop thinking.
Porn hooker, and she will be one of the issues September or October.
Maybe she
shot the porn hooker? Stormy.
Maybe.
Is this just because, honestly, who cares?
No, I agree.
I feel like it's a cheap shot, too, because of her accent.
I had not heard the clip. I just saw the clip, and
you're a hooker!
And I thought about, what a big story it was, because it was trending, it was all over. It's like, yeah. Oh my God, Melania Trump says blah, blah, blah. Like she just said it out loud somewhere. And then you go back to, it's really part of a larger story that I was sort of thinking about, but I'm working backwards. Melania Trump recorded by this former friend. Now,
because that's what best friends do.
I don't agree that she's a former friend when she's doing this. Why is Melania Trump talking to her if she's a former friend?
Well, she worked for her, right? Wasn't she her?
Right. Yeah, she was her assistant.
Chief of staff, or yeah?
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty scummy stuff. But yet the story comes out and she said, Monica Trump calls Stormy Daniels a porn hooker. I mean, it's just this crap, this recording people.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
And then we get Trump's niece who recorded his sister saying, what she said. Oh, I don't think he took his SATs, and all that stuff. And it's just like flaming news. And George Stephanopoulos interviews her like every half hour on Good Morning America. I saw her on CNN. I saw her on multiple places. And then going back even further, to Trump being recorded by Michael Cohen, his own attorney. And then I heard those conversations too. And I'm going, God, you know, nobody seems to really be bothered by this. And I'm trying to think of, like, you know, is there a precedent for this? I don't ever remember this sort of stuff happening, like presidents being recorded or...
Well, Nixon. I mean...
Well, Nixon recorded himself.
It's a hell of a lot easier now.
Yeah, it's a lot easier now, but I don't... Do you remember Obama being recorded in a private conversation or Joe Biden?
Your crotch down or your nuts hang.
There's LBJ.
Or George Bush. George Bush or... the only thing I could think of, really, and I know everyone remembers this, was that Linda Tripp recorded Monica Lewinsky telling the sordid story of her and Bill Clinton. And how was the reaction? People were mad at Linda Tripp.
Yeah.
People said, she's a piece of shit. What a horrible friend. Fuck her. But I never hear this about Michael Cohen or about Melania Trump's friend or Trump's niece.
Yeah.
Who, it's just like, hey, buy the book. It's available. And here's what she had to say.
It's going to happen all the time now, too, because nobody believes anything unless it's on tape.
I kind of...
those two, it doesn't matter. Who cares what, you know, Trump's niece says?
No, some people do. Oh, he cheated on the SAT. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
When you look at the barrage of things that people either record or they say people say, and they become headline news like veterans are losers. Here's why I was... Well,
that's why people are going to start recording it, because then it's just, nope, he didn't say that.
Well, first of all, and I remember talking about this with Triple Threat Alec, who's a lawyer, and I'm sure there's lawyers who have other opinions outside of this, but he was appalled by it because, first of all, a lawyer recording his client is outrageous without telling them. And then second of all, once it's revealed, it's like, bam, you know, we heard it. And I don't think there was anything. I don't even remember what he said, actually.
I don't either.
But the niece and this friend of Melania, that one is even seems just the worst to me.
Have you heard any more of the audio tapes? They had the worst conversations. It might be the worst recorded conversation in history.
I've read about it because it's always news. And I read about I did see the sister. I did hear the sister's comments that the niece recorded.
No, I'm talking about Melania. And when it first broke, it's like, here we have the first recording. And it's honestly the dumbest conversation.
I just remember reading it in the news, but I didn't hear the conversation, but I wouldn't mind hearing it.
Let me see if I can find it, because it's, let me check my...
I mean, this is history. Really scummy, scummy stuff, but it becomes huge news.
Yeah, because they have to fill up so much fucking time with bullshit.
Well, they can fill it up however they want to fill it up. The reason I went down this path was because I got this shitty email today. Actually, I got a couple. Because I said, I don't think Trump can win. I don't know how he could win. And the reason I said it was not because I don't think he can win or... I don't want to say this. I just feel like the litany of negative stories about him, whether they're deserved or not, I mean, are just so excessive. And I was I was looking back at news the last month because I wanted to explain what I was trying to tell this person in email, and I wrote him back. And I'd forgotten about the niece's book, and I'd forgotten the friend of Melania, and that reminded me of Michael Cohen, who is still popping off out there, by the way, his attorney, his personal attorney. And then you have Veterans Are Losers, the Woodward book, which is also, he knows those are recorded, so he has no one to blame for that. Then you have COVID. He's faking it. He deserves it. I hope he dies. He's going to kill Secret Service. The joyride. Secret Service is mad. His doctors are lying. His doctors are overtreating him. He's a super spreader. He's dying, but he won't admit it.
Un-American.
Meanwhile, the only thing I could think of positive over the last 60 days or 45 days, he did have a $300 a week executive order, and that was ripped. That was called illegal and outrageous. The Dems were angry about it. 47 states took the money, though. And I think, wasn't that money coming from, you remember where the money was coming from?
No, it had to come from somewhere, though. I think Congress was mad because they're supposed to be the ones allocating the funds.
Yeah, but they couldn't come up with the funds because they couldn't agree on the funds. So is it really that harmful? I mean, is it that horrible that 47 states, that many people accepted $300 a week?
I don't have a problem with it.
And then the Mideast Agreement, which honestly, I don't think any, I swear, I saw Jared Kushner on Good Morning America for about 3 minutes talking to George Stephanopoulos. I bet you a lot of people have no idea there even was a Mideast agreement. And it's not the be-all, end-all. It's between United Arab Emirates and, I think, Bahrain and Israel. And some people are very optimistic about it. Other people, New York Times, said it's whatever, no big deal.
I was going to say two things. Number one, how many people really care about that?
Oh, but it's big news.
No, I know
it's always big news.
That's not what I'm saying. But number two is, how many times have we seen peace agreements, and what does that ever accomplish?
Oh, so, no, I agree. But the agreements are still big news.
Sure.
They are.
Oh, it's,
But I mean, all this other shit is completely wrong. And if he wins, I will declare this. He's the biggest underdog to ever win an election, because I don't see how anyone can overcome this much shit. And I think the reason I say that is because the independents in the middle, when you just get bam, 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 I just think a lot of them are going, and the debate was bad, too. The debate, which I blame on him, because I think he fucked up.
I don't know if I said this on the air, if I just told you off. I'm surprised how many people thought he did that bad.
I think it was just the interrupting. It was just being obnoxious, because there were a couple times
LaDuff about it, and LaDuff's like, yeah, you don't fish like this. You don't keep throwing the hook in the water. I said, okay, that's fair. But he just seemed to be in command of what he wanted to talk about.
I thought he was, too, generally speaking. But the only thing that comes out of it is telling the Proud Boys to stand off, stand back.
Which is dumb. I mean, that's...
It was stupid.
I know you don't watch the circus documentary on Showtime, but they had two really interesting things. One was, they watched the main guy watch the debate with Steve Bannon. And mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of Steve Bannon, but holy shit, really knows, you know, how to win an election.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they have footage of him watching the debate saying, he just does this. He goes, oh, easy. Yep. Denounce it. Simple. Home run. Walk off. It's just the easiest thing to do. And he, at that moment, decided to make it some weird thing about name someone and the stand up, stand out. The other thing they had is they sat with the people that prepared Hillary for the debate against Trump, and they showed footage of her debate prep.
Oh, that'd be interesting to see.
And the guy playing Trump.
Who was it? I thought we knew who it was.
Somebody on her team.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize
the name. Did he stalk her?
He did. No, he did. But there's one moment. Let me see. I wrote it down. There's one moment where she said something about her emails, and the guy playing Trump goes, breaking news. Just interrupted her.
Yeah.
And, you know, just being condescending, saying breaking news. And the look on her face was like, she was so fucking pissed when that guy did that. And he's like, they so underestimated how he was going to act in those debates, which is really dumb, because he acted the same way that he did in the Republican
debates. I got to tell you, I never thought he won the Hillary Clinton debates. I didn't think he won those debates.
No, but just how he acted. Like, I don't know why they were so surprised by that.
I thought this debate, he probably could have scored a lot higher if he hadn't been so fucking annoying.
Have shut up every once
in a while. If he could have shut up. Because there was a couple times he jumped in and was like, yeah. But then it's like, no, don't jump in. Why are you jumping in so? What the? Stop it!
Wrong.
And I thought it was annoying to almost anyone who was watching had to be annoyed by that. Otherwise, I don't know, because I don't really remember what Biden said, except he says,
you shut up, man.
Look at me in the face right now and hear what I'm saying. And I don't dislike Joe Biden. I mean, I think he's, as far as politicians, I don't like politicians in general, but he's, you know, he's relatively...
He just is.
Innocuous. Yeah, that's he just is.
Malarkey.
He's very innocuous.
I mean, he's been doing this 47 years, and I do laugh. I think that's one of the best things that Trump does say was, you've been here 47 years. What the fuck? You know, with the whole taxes thing. It's like, oh, we're going to close those loopholes, and you're going to be lots of taxes. It's like, wait. Come on, are you serious?
Yeah.
Didn't Trump really
say he was going to close the corporate loopholes too? Wasn't that part of the...
Trump?
Yeah,
he was going to cut the loopholes and...
He was going to make it like...
He was going to lower the tax rate and cut the loopholes.
Instead, the rate just got lowered.
Yeah, I don't really know what that did, except it probably put a lot of companies into a lot of money.
There is breaking...
I don't want to pay tax.
There's breaking White House COVID news.
Oh, great.
Stephen Miller has tested positive now. You know who he is, right? The bald guy.
Did he have hair for like one day?
I don't know. He married a chick.
Is that the guy?
He married a chick I think is way out of his league, looks-wise. But
Katie Miller, yeah.
But she has been there. He has been by his side from day one. I think he used to work for Jeff Sessions. And
I remember seeing him on getting interviewed over something. I don't even remember what it was.
Very animated and loud.
I could have sworn he had hair for one day and people made so much fun of him that he went back to being bald.
I think you're right.
Let me search that. That's a better topic than this.
I don't know what that,
yeah, here he is with the hair. Look, it doesn't look bad.
How do you have it for one day?
Because people noticed it. Because Trevor Noah made fun of him that night.
Yeah,
because
everyone noticed it.
You double down and you make more hair.
Yeah, he just like dumped the hair immediately and went back to being bald. It's funny. He looks better with the hair, I think. He should have kept it.
Yeah, but
and here's Colbert ridiculing him.
That's why.
Oh, boy.
I don't want him to die.
Oh, well.
Get well soon. Anyway. Seriously.
Yeah, but it is interesting the difference.
I hate that when people think the other side automatically wants people to die if they get COVID.
Well, people wanted Trump to die. They were tweeting it.
Hey, Alyssa Milano wished him well because, you know, she went through
She's so classy. Oh, there's some great... Oh, this is a good topic.
Yeah, she popped up in one of the brushes with celebrity,
yeah, she popped up in two of them.
Here's a pile of email with those, Drew. I printed them out for you.
Up, oh, Dan Evans has Eddie Van Halen stuff. He's got the Eddie Van Halen interview.
He said it sounds bad, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's got to be cleaned up.
Here you go. Here's the...
Brushes with Mike, celebrity.
He says there's a Mike Clark Broken Promise in the Eddie Van Halen thing.
ID. You want me to play it real quick?
Yeah.
Here's the Alyssa Milano email you're looking for.
I think I can find another one, too.
This is the Gerald Laird one.
Gerald Laird?
That is so
And
obtuse.
Then here's the messages from the Boner line, which thanks for sending. These are really funny, especially the last one made me laugh really loud. And here's Mike's Promise thing.
Hi, this is Eddie Van Halen, and you're listening to two of my favorite guitarists, Drew and Mike, on 101 WRIF Detroit.
Hey, that's great, Eddie.
That was a beauty. That was great, man.
Now, when are you going to give me some lessons, man? I need some.
Next time you're in town, I'll sit you down.
All right, guys.
That was not a promise Mike wanted to break.
Hell no.
He would have given Eddie guitar lessons.
What's this? There's this Alyssa Milano thing was funny. Yes, here it is. Okay.
I handed you the Alyssa one. It's the first one I handed you, right? Timberlake?
There's two of them.
Oh, okay.
There's two of them. But yeah, and it's on the other one anyway. A friend of mine were working an event at the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas. Justin Timberlake was the headlining act. There were a ton of celebrities there for the show. After the show, my friend and I went upstairs and changed, then headed back to the casino for a night of fun. We got in the elevator, and the band Puddle of Mud was on the elevator, heading to the casino after their show. You can always run into crazy people in Las Vegas. Yeah. Is one fun part of it. My friend Paul looked like he could be in the band and was dressed just like them. Someone in the band commented on it. Funny conversation sprouted. We ended up chatting all the way to the blackjack tables. They asked us to join them, so we proceeded to lose money together for about an hour at the blackjack tables. The funniest thing that happened involved Justin Timberlake. He and Alyssa Milano were also playing blackjack a few tables away and giving each other little kisses and PDA. Ooh! I think Justin was 21 or 22 when he dated Alyssa after the Britney breakup. Just after the Britney breakup. Wes, the singer in Puddle of Mud, looks over at them and says to all at the table, "Life is so unfair that a lame fuck like that gets to fuck Alyssa Milano." All of us, including the dealer, burst into loudest laughter. Then Gia Alamand was the bachelor contestant who committed suicide, who I remember very well. She was gorgeous. She seemed like a nice person. I was shocked she didn't win, to be honest. Anyway, he says, "Gia Alamand from The Bachelor is my wife's niece. It was my sister-in-law Donna that was on Dr. Phil. She committed suicide because she had PMDD, a hormonal imbalance." Listen to this. She was engaged to Carl Pavano, the baseball player, and when she was in the hospital, Alyssa Milano slept with him. Whore! About that.
Sounds about right.
Brush the celebrity, met Peter
Job
Jennings.
Pavano, too, by the way.
Yeah, nice.
Hey, why is she mad at Pavano, too?
Yeah, Pavano did all right. God damn, Pavano. Gia Alamand and Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, what are you cheating
on? Brush the celebrity, met Peter Jennings in Toronto while waiting in line to get into the Drew and Mike dinner. This is at the Mickey Redmond trip. Might have been the last one that was done. Peter was very nice. He wanted to talk hockey with a group of us, but his handler dragged him off. I would expect him to be nice. That's cool.
Jennings? Oh, yeah.
Brush a celebrity.
Peter, there have been some...
Barbara, quiet for a second. Sorry.
What a nice guy.
Apologies, but
yes. Barbara, shut the fuck up. A man is talking here. I'm the anchor.
When I was in elementary school, Ronald McDonald once came to one of our school assemblies. He seemed pretty chill, but I suspect he was doing product placement.
That's really great. Puddle of Mud reminded me of when that time they played Rust Fest. Do you remember that, Brandon, when they played Rust Fest?
Gee, I don't know, but there's a lot of bad Puddle of Mud stories.
Two, three, Tres Comas Tequila, my brand, $billionaire. Rust Fest. Rust Fest.
Right.
Brought to you by Pied Piper.
It's going
to
be good.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Crazy Town's going to be there.
Crazy Town.
So is Puddle of Mud. You know Puddle of Mud.
No.
Fucking Puddle of Mud. Dude, listen.
Everyone's so big. Everyone is empty. Everything is so messed up.
Right? Yeah, you know Puddle of Mud. Yeah. Awesome. This is a good meeting, guys. Excellent. I got a jet. Bye, guys.
Corey, where you at, Doc?
We're really excited about the possibility.
Wow.
I miss Silicon Valley.
I just knew Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud when he could not sing About a Girl, the Nirvana song.
Oh, yeah, it's painful.
Oh, man.
He just ran out of vocal cords or something.
Didn't someone change the speed on that and make it sound better? Or the pitch? I thought someone messed with it and made it sound better.
It's really bad. It's one that you kind of like.
It's terrible.
You feel bad for him almost.
Take it and it's wild. You hang me out to dry. I can see you every night. Rain.
Oh, ouch.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Okay. There's so many brushes celebrities. Oh, my God. Boy, there's a lot of Alyssa Milano. Why are all these Alyssa Milano? Breaking...
And Craig sent us a video of the former CEO of Walmart flying in a Cirrus, the plane, and deploying the parachute.
That's really funny.
It's very, very funny.
I want to see it.
And I didn't remember that Clark said having the parachute on airplanes like flying with training wheels. That's what Clark said. And it just looks so dumb, this airplane with a parachute. So I'm kind of with you, Mike. Was this it?
Oh my God!
This dramatic video of a plane parachuting safely to Earth has many asking this question.
It works.
Big planes get those too. Some
Shut
kind
up,
of way,
Robin.
They seem to work.
I spoke to the genius who invented the plane chute.
Oh, genius!
His name is Boris Popov of Ballistic Recovery Systems in Minnesota.
It's got to warm your heart to see your technology actually working.
Absolutely, and every one of them is a story in and of itself. We've had 330 saves now over the last 30 years.
It happened in the skies
over
Arkansas.
You have to save your plane so many times.
In this just released radio transmission, the pilot can be heard making a split-second decision after experiencing engine trouble.
I'm going to try to find a place that we had clear.
The plane is a Cirrus aircraft and has an emergency parachute built into its fuselage. The plane glided to the ground and landed on a highway. All three people on the plane walked away.
That's awesome.
Whew. Hey, this is a good brush of celebrity.
You know what's even better, though, Brandon? The engine not failing.
That's true, I guess.
I know. I love how they describe him as a genius. Because he had all kinds of problems and decided, we'll just sell them all with a parachute. I had a weird one-day gig as a teenager for my stepdad's marketing company. He was in charge of comedian George Wallace's promotional appearances.
Oh, wow.
Promoting the grand opening of the Phoenix Plaza in Pontiac. In the 80s, George Wallace was coming on a red-eye flight. I like George Wallace, but I just don't think he's that funny. I don't know. Do you like
him? He is I would describe him as a comedian's comic.
Well,
because the comedians
love him. They
love
do.
Love him.
Did you like him?
He's okay.
Yeah, that's kind of how I
think he's in that Comedy Store doc.
I'm sure he is. George Wallace is coming on a red-eye flight that apparently no one else wanted to go pick him up. I had the opportunity to be his local manager, which was cool because I started becoming interested in stand-up. A limo picked me up from my house at 4 a.m. Ooh! We headed to the airport to pick him up and start heading to the list of media outlets. He was a nice, quiet, regular guy in the limo. First stop was to Dick Pertin's morning show, which is on Z95.5. Okay, so that was... That's before Danny Bonaducci, right?
Yeah, so yeah. It's late 80s.
Okay. Anyway, we arrive in the lobby. I introduce George to Dick. Dick immediately asks George what topics he'd like to cover during the interview to set up his material. George politely insisted that Dick just have a normal conversation with him on the air and it'll work itself out. Mm. Oh, yeah, I've heard that many times.
Yeah.
Pertin then strongly suggested he provide him some topics, reminded George he's been doing radio for a long time and that this is going to be a problem. At this point, the tension in the front foyer is so tight, I'm freaking out. I'm a kid. I have no clue what the hell to do as these two are going back and forth butting heads. George then looks at me and says, let's go. So we leave, get back in limo. George asks me what the urban radio station was in the market. I told him WJLB. We drove to Dunkin' Donuts around the corner to use a payphone where George proceeded to call WJLB and do a 20-minute impromptu interview, which was awesome, very natural sounding, and even poke fun at Dick as a big F you.
Wow.
After that, we headed to Fox 2 to do a morning show, and that's when the adults decided to take over. I'll never forget it. Kenny. Drew, if you ever want to check out a real health club, please let me know. Let me try out my lifetime on Telegraph in Bloomfield. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Kenny.
Yes, sir.
I can.
Okay. Submarine Connor at the final Bob Seger concert at Pine Knob. I saw Drew walking out of the washroom. He completely ignored me. I talk to people all the time at concerts.
Yeah, so maybe it's that guy.
More people.
Just not that guy.
You dick.
Total bullshit. Okay. Oh, Submarine Connor's New Orleans. Is it, are these the girls from yesterday? Yeah, they are. They're the pictures. Yeah.
Some guy.
Couldn't forget those lovely girls.
Mark emailed me and reminded me of this story about my dad when he hung out with Matt Damon at the All-Star game.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
And talked to him for, he claims, a half hour.
Not knowing who he was.
No. 2 weeks later, he's watching TV with my mom.
Matt Damon.
With my mom. And he goes, who's that guy? Like, Matt Damon.
I know that guy.
Oh, man, I mean, this
Matt
is like
Damon.
He's an All-Star game reporter.
When was the All-Star game in Boston? I mean, couldn't have been that.
Not that long ago. Ten years ago. You
know, pretty famous. He's like, oh, I spent a half hour talking to that guy about baseball, which is always, I've said it before, the amazing thing about my dad, and he'll just talk to people about stuff that, because he doesn't know who they are. So he'll talk about sports or baseball. He doesn't want to talk about what they want to talk about.
Looks like that was 99.
Yeah, so he was pretty big back then.
Really?
Here's Vicky says 3 years ago, a bunch of us 40-something girls went to our friend's cottage on Torch Lake. We decided to go out to the karaoke bar for dinner, sing the night away. We soon realized one of the dudes at the bar was none other than Andrew Hsu.
Oh, wife, really?
Amy Robach. They were in a group of people and sang a few times. Amy wouldn't give us the time of day, but Andrew chatted with a few of us. As we all got hammered, more daring to approach him. What a night that was. He was cool as hell. Very memorable night. Keep up the great work.
I saw the Sexy Specs guy up there.
Yeah, he's got a he's got a place right on right in Charlevoix, like Char did. Golden? Dick Golden?
Yeah. It was just the two of us in this little cafe, and I was like, is that him? Nah. And I almost wanted to get up and just start boogieing, but I never made contact with him.
I think that'd be hilarious to run into Andrew Hsu. I don't know why. Because he always makes that one face like the... Remember when Melrose, when that girl broke up with him, he's just like, I hate you.
Oh, he was...
He was such a terrible actor.
He was... He seemed so terribly, terribly soft as a character and in real life.
Just a struggling actor with a thick, meaty cock.
Well, remember, he... do you remember the website he started? I gotta look it up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
On Melrose?
No. For in real life, he started a website and made a lot of money on
it. Yeah. He's loaded.
He made a social networking website called Cafe Mom.
Cafe Mom?
Goddamn shoes.
Targeted to moms and mothers to be.
See, that's
pretty soft.
That's perfectly in line with him.
Yeah.
Here's a bunch of celebrity. Jeff Daniels. Pretty cool story. Starts in 2002. My family and I purchased our first puppy. Breeder we had used also sold a puppy to Jeff Daniels and his family from the same litter the day before we picked up our pup. So how cool it was, our dogs are doggy brothers. And if I ever met Jeff Daniels, I couldn't wait to tell him.
That's really funny.
My chance did come in July of 2014 at the worst possible time. I was leaving U of M Hospital, just learning my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Oh, man. Waiting for the elevator, collecting my emotions. I noticed a very normal-looking man wearing a ball cap kind of low for the elevators, too. I noticed who he was right away. Side note, he just finished Dumb and Dumber 2. I thought, this sucks. I always want to tell him about my doggy brother story. I was not going to bring it up waiting at the elevator in the hospital. I was walking out of the elevator, going to my car. I thought, he lives in Michigan. I got to give a shot. But as fate would have it, we both were waiting on the valet. So I took my chance. I started the conversation with the fact that we both shared the same breeder. From there, we had a pleasant conversation about our dogs. Best part was, as we were talking, another fan walked up and asked him if he could get a photo, which Jeff declined. We were at the hospital valet, but did tell the man, I'll shake your hand, which Mr. Daniels did. Then he turned his attention back to me in our conversation. That's what a compliment. Super cool. I don't think he realized how much that meant to me. I was taken away from my horrible news from a moment of time. He was super nice. He is a good guy. He really is. Nice. Oh, God. Brandon sent me this story. I just noticed Gloria sent me an email. Twitter thinks 15-year-old Claudia Conway is the whistleblower of our time. Fuck. I'll read that story in a second. I may have told you this before. I got married in July of 1993, now divorced, but we had a good run. Honeymoon was at the Ritz-Carlton Kapalua in Maui. Ooh. While walking with the bellhop to a room, he informed us that none other than one Orenthal James Simpson also happened to be a guest there, along with his lovely wife, Nicole. Oh, my God, it's July of 93.
Oh, really?
He was just about to kill her. He was like a year away from killing her. Sure enough, Juice and McCall were poolside every day. We could never figure out what was going on with their entourage. It was a group of like 7-8 white men, like male model types. Now, I'm not gay. My now ex-wife classified them as such. That's not why we divorced either.
He's gay?
They were with them every day by the pool. I will say this. Nicole was at the time the hottest female I've ever seen in person. Her body was just incredible. Everything was perfect. I saw him in the hotel once and said, hey, OJ. And he said, hey, as he got off the elevator that I was getting on. I have to say, I do not want him trying to murder me. He's a big dude. He was in pretty good shape, but overall, just a big dude. Since we know he can run fast, that's a recipe for successful murder. Ha! Love the show. Wow, how weird. What are all those dudes in there? OJ, like watching her get nailed by these
probably
white gay guys?
As long as it's not Keefe.
In the living room with the kids in the house. It's the kids in the house. OJ is, you know, he's very moralistic. Brush to celebrity.
He definitely has his own set of morals.
I may be a little late with this, but I have had a few brushes back in the early 90s. I was the evening manager at the now extinct Shell gas station on the corner of Woodward and Maple in Birmingham. Drew's favorite pillow talk DJ, Alan Allman, would stop in a few times a week to get three packs of Vantage cigarettes.
What? He knows what Allman looks like?
And chat about it. Yes, he does. The reason we stock Vantage, come to think of it. The funny thing about it was, whenever a pretty young lady came in to pay for gas or buy smoke, she'd get real quiet and walk into the garage. Probably didn't want to be recognized.
Yeah, he didn't want him to get wet.
And this is for the child.
Ridiculous.
And the child in me tonight. This is Make-A-Wish. A fun little thing.
Like, this voice is creepy. Is it like
Seven again?
It really is. Well, he doesn't have to talk that way.
All you have to do is close your eyes.
He's trying to blow out your woofers.
Well, go ahead.
He owns stock in woofer companies.
I don't know how much Maz would love this.
No.
Starline. Yeah. Well, come on. Star bright. First star I see tonight.
He's doing wish a nursery rhyme.
Wish I might have this wish. I wish tonight.
Cut it out, Allman.
Now go ahead. Make a wish.
I wish I didn't hear you anymore. I wish you'd shut up and play a tune.
Too many children were born because of Alan Allman. Like, people hear his voice and go, oh my God, we have to fuck!
Just like that, your dream, your wish, and your heart's desire, I promise you, will come true.
I'll never forget when you told me that that wasn't him in the promos.
Oh, yeah. You know, that was really
nobody knew
strange.
What he looked like, and I just assumed that really was him in the promos. Like, I was 10 years old, and you told me 3 years ago.
It's pretty disappointing.
I know.
Anyway, Allman hangs out at this gas station because I don't know why, but he buys his Vantage cigarettes there. One evening, a black caddy rolled up. A middle-aged man poked his head in the door and said, hey, do you sell milk here? I looked up from a conversation I was having with a friend who stopped by and said, no. The total station around the corner does. Then I realized that the guy was none other than Johnny Bench. He bolted back to his car and fled before I could get another word out.
How random.
I spent the next hour trying to convince my buddy it was Johnny Bench.
No runs, no drips, no errors.
That's so weird. Johnny Bench wants milk?
Well,
yeah. true. One cold evening, I showed Vinnie Johnson. That's funny. There were rumors that Johnny Bench was gay.
That's what I was kind of.
And he was my brother's favorite player. I tortured him.
Get him some milk!
Tortured him. I mean, I should be despised by every gay human being out there for the torture I put my little brother through.
I thought he was married a bunch of times.
Well, yeah, beards. Your brother should be upset too, because gay people should be mad at him for being upset that his favorite player was
gay. That's true. I think that we should put the focus on that part of the story, exactly. Which is worse. I was just trying to inform him.
Because you thought he might have been.
I was trying to make sure that he knew that it was okay.
You wanted to make sure your little brother was woke.
It was so not that. But I was a kid. I didn't know any better. One cold evening, I showed Vinnie Thompson how to open his gas door on his new Range Rover he picked up from the livery dealer down the road. That's funny. A funny one, former Lion QB Andre Ware came in before closing time, tried to pay for a beverage with a $100 bill. Of course, I barely had $100 in the drawer, so making change is going to be a problem. So I pulled out the bill scanner to check it for counterfeit, and he smirked at me and rolled his eyes like, "Really, man?" I pointed at the sign and said, "All large bills will be checked." It was real, of course, and I made the change. The next day, I explained to my boss why the drawer was so fucked up. So I told him, he said, "I don't care who it is. You can refuse to take a high bill, especially if it's from a Detroit Lion."
Oh, yeah, because you're not working the till. Easy to say. Speaking of OJ, he has a new Twitter or a new tweet. Should we bother listening?
It's about Eddie.
You know I love Eddie Van Halen. I used to be able to play the guitar too.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Just finished having breakfast with some of my buddies. I have breakfast with them when I don't play golf early in the morning. And normally, I don't talk politics, certainly publicly.
Oh, here we go.
This morning, it got kind of heated. Half of my friends are probably Republican, conservative, not necessarily Trumpist.
So OJ can get along with all people.
And the other half, and even most of my family, I would say, is Democrats. And today, it got started when one guy was criticizing the president for saying that COVID was like the flu. Another guy said it is. And the guy said, "Wait a minute. It doesn't take a hospitalization and three experimental drugs to treat the regular flu." Wow. And it kind of took off from there. And this guy says, "This whole lockdown thing is a ploy by the Democrats to affect the election."
Wait, slow down, OJ.
You're on Twitter. You don't know all this? I'm starting to think you don't read Twitter. You just post videos to it.
Get involved a little bit.
Get involved.
Are you saying by that theory that Germany, France, Italy, Greece, England,
how about Sweden,
Japan?
You know, why is that funny, Juice?
China, Korea are all locked down. And many of them before we did to affect our election. And the guy said, "Of course they all care about our elections." I say, "Hey, man, no more politics. From now on, we only talk
no more politics.
No more murder talking to you guys."
To hear these guys on TV, more than one.
No more Kansas politics.
City was beatable last night. And hey, look. One guy said that if Cam played, they would have lost, and New England could have won. Coulda, there's no coulda in football. You win or you lose. That's the purity of the game.
All
great teams have bad games. The difference is the great teams still
win the game
when they have bad games. There's only three teams I think could beat Kansas City if they're a little off. No,
his fucking tweets are too long. Jesus Christ.
His coverage of COVID reminded me. Did you see Wendy Williams' coverage of COVID?
I did not.
I think you'll enjoy this. Hang on. I actually bookmarked it because the video made me laugh.
That's funny. His conversation, though, is very relatable because I have friends. I text with a lot of my buddies, especially my old friends, and Trump comes up a lot. And I have friends who every single thing he does, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. I mean, it could be his tax bill. It could be anything. Is the worst thing that's ever happened. And he'll tell me why, and I'll try and, okay, fine. And then I have other friends who everything Trump's does is absolutely right. It's part of the plan. It's all, there's no sloppiness to it. It's all schemed out. It's all the right thing, blah, blah, blah. And the Democrats just pick on everything he says and say it sucks, even though it's great. And it's like, I'm like, oh, my fucking God, I don't want to listen
to
either
side. It's political bullshit.
Fortunately, Triple Threat Alec and Triple Threat Johnny are both kind of in the middle like me. Yeah. Don't take it seriously at all. Those are the only guys I can ever talk about politics with.
You've got a friend in me.
So here's her coverage, Wendy Williams,
Trump returning to the White House. And I'm not, it's not a, because of a political thing. It's because it's Wendy Williams here.
Oh, President Trump. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of Cordova. Mm-hmm. Don't let it dominate your life. Sir.
What?
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. We are here. Out in the field. We are frightened of Cordova. You got it, so we could get it.
I think your point is kind of moot if you say, if you call it Cordova twice in a row.
Oh, my God.
Cordova?
I, you know, I've seen her lately
Don't
a few times.
Don't be afraid of Cordova.
Is time for Wendy Williams to, I mean, are you surprised? Does she still do well? She must.
She must.
Because, you know, sometimes I go, you know, she's pretty relatable. She brings up good topics for her audience, and I respect what she does. But the last couple times I've had her on, I just feel like, isn't there some younger version of her?
Apparently not.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I've got friends who call themselves Never Trumpers.
Yeah.
Two specifically. One of them posts on Facebook constantly.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then there's about 10 other people from my high school who will comment on every Never Trumper post. Mm-hmm. And they'll add to it. I can't believe people have time for this.
Well, it doesn't take that much time. I just don't know why they'd expend the energy on it.
I don't either. And then I told you I've seen people.
I think we're a little different because we're exposed to both sides and both passionate sides, you know, email-wise and message-wise, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe. To some degree. I mean, you get pretty cynical when you're this, you know, when it's in your face all the time. But, you know, there's people who beg friends to stop, you know, stop posting shit. Because there's some people on both sides who are so fucking annoying.
Stop it!
It's just incredible. Okay, here's the Gerald Laird. I was in Cincinnati for a Tiger. This is another really obtuse one. We're having a we're at a bar having some beers. Looking across the bar, we saw multiple Tigers fans surrounding someone. We walked over. It was Gerald Laird. He was our catcher for about, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Hey, there he is.
I thought he was pretty good, actually. I mean, yeah, for a while, I kind of liked him.
Did he marry someone famous, or am I confusing that with?
You're confusing him with the one that married the volleyball player.
Oh, yeah.
I think. We could tell he was getting annoyed, so my one buddy told all the fans, Gerald is done taking pictures, acting like a bodyguard. Ooh!
That's awesome.
Shortly after we left the bar, piled into cabs. As we were leaving, someone said, hey, Lurt's coming back with us. Figured they were just fucking around.
Bodyguard.
But I got back to my buddies. Gerald there were standing on the deck smoking a cigarette. We assumed he wanted to nail my buddy's girlfriend. My buddy lived in Kentucky. At one point, he was talking about catching for Valverde. He said he had no clue where the ball was going, and Valverde didn't either. He referred to himself as G-Money, and we ragged on him all night for that. By the end of the night, we're pretty fucked up. He ended up being a really cool, but cool guy. My buddies went back to his hotel just to make sure he got in okay. We didn't want to be on ESPN. We didn't get one picture or autograph.
That's awesome.
I think he just wanted normal people to party with that weren't obsessed with him because he was on the Tigers. My friend lived, my friend that lived down there wrote his name down on a napkin for Laird, and the next day had two tickets for him. And his girlfriend at Will Call. He went 1-for-3. We didn't think it was possible that he could get a hit. That is so funny. The way some people party and can play the next day. Baseball as much as any sport, I think. Because those guys, like those Yankees teams with Mantle and Billy Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's,
God. Not,
it's nonstop. You don't get a day
yeah,
off.
Yeah, night after night after night after night. Mantle told this great story that he had a bum leg, which he had for a long, long time, and he played a lot of games injured. Mantle was possibly one of the most talented, well, definitely one of the most talented people to ever play baseball. He ran to first base in 3.1 seconds from the left side, which was, I think, the fastest ever recorded. And he had that incredible power. He had a great arm. He had everything. And then he stepped on a drain in the outfield. There was a drain that was, I guess, under some grass. He stepped on it and ripped up his knee.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was early in his career, too. But he stole bases. Anyway, and he's a switch hitter. I mean, he had it all. So Mantle had this bum leg. He hadn't played for a couple days, and he wasn't supposed to play for a couple more. So in the, I think it was about the eighth inning, I think it was Ralph, oh, fuck, what was his manager's name? Ralph Mauch?
Ralph Mauch? Ralph Hauk?
Ralph Hauk. Ralph Mauch. Ralph Mauch. Ralph Hauk.
Ralph Mouth.
Said, hey, somebody get Mickey up back there. We're going to need a pinch hitter. Because they were down a run. They were in a pennant race. So they Mickey, you might want to put your uniform on. he was in his like his underwear maybe. Or something. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me? I've taken batting practice in a week, and I'm so hungover. Like, Mickey, put your stuff on. So Mickey hobbles to the dugout with his uniform just put on, and he's like, I'm going to swing at the first pitch because I'm going to see eight balls. I'm so fucking hungover. He got up there, swung at the first pitch, hit it out of the park. They won the game.
Jesus.
But he acknowledged it was 100% just happenstance.
That's wow, but
how it works
not,
when you're
Mickey
Mantle.
Though.
No, it's not.
It's a lot of muscle memory and yeah.
Yep. That Gibby home run was amazing too because he was
really
pinch
is.
Hitting and
yeah.
when you're sitting on a bench the whole game. Yeah. I mean, pinch hitters are truly a unique breed.
That was his only at bat that entire World Series.
Yeah, that's right. Game two was that
two?
Game two.
Two was,
they were
was
down
one
nothing and I think they won the
was
next
game
four.
One.
Was it game one?
Game one.
I don't know. I'm not going to question you with baseball history.
Well, I think they won that series 4-1 or 4-0.
I'll believe you.
It was against the A's. Maybe it was 4-0. I don't know.
There's only a way to look it up.
I know.
It was game one.
It was game one. Okay. All right. Any more precious celebrities? No. You know, I was watching today, and this is what I was really going to talk about, but it's probably better that, well, it's not better that Eddie Van Halen died, but I was watching the series on HBO called I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Oh, yeah.
About the Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
And Patton Oswalt's wife, who deceased, she died a couple years, maybe 5-6 years ago. He's remarried.
Michelle McNamara.
Yes. And he's sort of narrating along with her because she made a lot of, she did podcasts and stuff. The trek to tracking down who this fucking guy was who had raped over 50 people and killed 10 people that they knew of in Sacramento and various parts of the East Bay. It's called the East Bay. They called him
East Area Rapist.
Yeah, they called him Ear. Wait.
It was a weird. Yeah.
It's some strange combination of letters, but yeah, East Area Rapist and then
Ear and Ons or whatever?
Before Night Stalker or something, or pre-Night Stalker. I can't remember what it was. Anyway.
Original Night Stalker.
Original
O-N-S.
Night Stalker, yeah.
E-A-R-O-N-S, yeah.
So they're going through all these crimes, and there's so much information about them because they've just really honed in on this stuff. And she's trading with former detectives, her stuff with their stuff, and other sleuths that are online. She's got this true crime blog, and it's really good. I mean, there's only 2 episodes up now, but I got through about an episode and a half, and it was absolutely fascinating. Plus, there's the Patton Oswalt angle, and, you know, he seems like a good guy. I know he gets himself in some messy shit on Twitter because he's
I wonder
very
if they talked to the girl, the waitress, who served him all the time.
Oh, that's right. Didn't we talk to her?
We talked to her.
Yeah,
that's right. She was great too.
She was. But Michelle was kind of weird because Patton Oswalt said he was sort of putting himself down with chicks, and
yeah.
He said his show he was talking about how Irish girls are his kryptonite. And after the show, she said something like, "Hey, Irish girl here." She was walking away, and he goes, "Hey." Because he thought she was so cute. And he said, so that's the first thing I ever said to her. Hey! And she came back and he said, I'm just going to fuck around. Do you want to go out for coffee or something? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. And she, anyway, it was this great love story, except that she died. Mm-hmm. I think it wasn't opiates?
It was a combination of it. And he kind of blamed all the hard work she was doing on this, too.
Well, when she worked, she put her head down and she worked. She got rid of the kids. She got rid of the animals. And she sat there and she would go through, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 hours of reading and watching video and just really deep diving into finding who this killer was.
That would wear anybody down.
It was pretty fascinating, though. And, what she said and what the people she traded with said, because she became friends with all these people because they all had one thing in mind. They want to nail this fucking guy. And all of them ended up helping in some small way or in some larger way. She described this one time she got to this community where they had, 156,000 people on it or something, and there were hundreds of thousands of posts. And she said she would just sink into it, and the next thing she knew, it's like, oh my God, I just read 20,000 posts. And 4 hours had disappeared, and you know, it was just like that. It wasn't that she tortured herself. I think she just really liked and was fascinated and wanted to find this guy.
How do we just do that with YouTube?
I know. I was thinking
Baseball Reference.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking the same thing, that I junk out on stupid stuff all the time.
At least she's productive.
Was trying to do something productive. Yeah. Okay, we'll wrap up today.
Maybe.
The 20 best guitar solos by Eddie Van Halen from Rolling Stone. And they did not give them in order. I don't believe these are in order.
Alphabetical order, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Can they knock that off and start ranking stuff?
Yeah, they should have ranked these, I thought. They kind of did in the discussion, but they didn't really do it. Anyway, Chinatown, Humans Being, Right Now. And I was thinking, guitar solo Right Now? I don't remember. I don't think of that song as a guitar solo song.
Now!
I know. I'm sure it had one. I think it was a stupid keyboard song. That was a great song.
Listen to that motherfucker play those keyboards.
Yeah. There we go. Of course there's one.
I would put that at number 20 on the
list.
I don't even know if it belongs in the top 20, but Mine All Mine, Dreams, Jump, Hot for Teacher, Drop Dead Legs, Panama, Cathedral, Push Comes to Shove, Beat It with Michael Jackson, Mean Streets, The First 30 Seconds, and actually listen to that. That is pretty freaking cool. I mean, it's like, wait, how is he doing that exactly? Spanish Fly, Somebody Get Me a Doctor, You're No Good, the song I was talking about, the Linda Ronstadt song.
This is cool.
Listen to that.
I am so good at music. I can do that.
Wow. Mean Street, Spanish Fly, Somebody Get Me a Doctor, You're No Good, Ice Cream Man, I'm the One, which Eddie said is one of his favorites, Eruption, and Ain't Talking About Love.
Wow.
What
that
a...
That is amazing.
I mean, you know, again... Just the fact that you can debate and argue all these things about this band and about these songs. And, I mean, to even come up with a top 10 songs is like, holy shit, how would I do that? And the tapping, Eddie said he really... sort of borrowed something from he saw Jimmy Page doing in 1971 at a Led Zeppelin show.
I don't know how to do it.
I think even Jimmy Page says what he's doing is something someone entirely evolved from what I was doing. And he became a major gearhead, by the way. All those things he couldn't buy, the reason he started tapping, he bought them all and became a big gearhead.
Well, didn't he have a bunch of patents, too,
yes,
for guitars?
Yes, he did. He did.
I mean, a lot of musicians do, but it was specifically for guitars.
It's funny, as time goes on, I think I like this band better and better.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because I was hampered by my WUVT days.
I was going to say... Riff might have wore us down on it too because they played
the same seven songs.
A lot, yeah.
But the, you know, and Eddie says, I don't know how true this is, he says that he was on the harmonies in the studio, that he did sing and he was part of that harmony, and their harmonies are fantastic. And they're one of the new things about Van Halen.
Very underrated.
And what's the bass player's name? Michael
Anthony.
Yeah, he never gets the credit he deserves. God, I was listening to his bass that. Thump, 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 thump on Running with the Devil before the show. Oh, man, that's so loud. That's another great song. God, that's a great song. And Roth sounds great on it. And it's just a signature sound, a true... I mean, there's just no one quite like Eddie Van Halen. And that's hard to say that about anybody in that business. There's so many great people. So What a bummer. And I know Mike Clark is be triply bummed. So let's get out of here. And I'm gonna go crank some Van Halen music. I really am. I'm serious.
Quiet.
I want to hear Human Beings, actually. I don't know why I like that song so much. Because did people like that song when it came out?
I don't know.
People were kind of not...
We played it a lot at Riff.
I thought it was fantastic. I know Mike loved it. And I felt better about it because I thought, do I like a song nobody likes? And Human Beings was cool, too.
But, I mean, he does like every Van Halen song.
He does, but he really did like that. Because I was one of those songs that he would play six times in a row and want to hear it again.
Yes.
Which he would do often.
Yes, he would.
And I do the same thing. I know when I find a song, oh, my God, that's such a great song. And it's funny because I could send it to him and go, oh, yeah, it's great. I love this band. I just listened to it four times. And Van Halen, as I got to be a bigger fan, too. At first, when somebody's a huge fan and you're not, you don't really discuss it that much. But then when I became a bigger fan, I became a bigger Hendrix fan, too, really from Mike.
Yeah. Who did he prefer better, Eddie or Jimmy?
Jimi Hendrix was his hero.
Okay.
But he loved Van Halen. He loved Eddie Van Halen. And he was so pumped when we got to talk to him. And
well, now we can finally give him lessons.
Yeah. Oh, man. God, 65 is... Jeez. I was thinking about that today. Like, am I going to see the Stones again? I want to see the Stones again. I got $4,400 invested, goddammit! Wait, I mean, they no must have spent them. All they're of
not,
it by now.
They're not dying.
I don't think so. God, I thought I'd see Eddie again. Anyway, I wish the best to his family and Wolfie and all those people. So terribly sad.
And A.J. McLean.
A.J. McLean and the Backstreet Boys. Totally influenced.
Very torn up.
We'll see you tomorrow.
And splendidly bright, here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin, and I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department, and I just made the split-second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me, Hope Not handcuffs arrived, and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us help guide you to recovery. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more.